welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. It is time for How Say You, whatever topic, whatever subject, whatever's on your mind. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Bald Brian.
Hello.
Hey, let me ask you guys something.
Yeah.
Tell me if I'm out of touch or not.
Are we allowed to disagree with you this time, or we just
well,
step with the company?
You know what happens when you do disagree
you
with me.
Take a risk, Brian.
That's a good point.
I did not, this is not really agree or disagree, although it's partially that way.
Thank God.
I was was pointed out to me by my wife last night that I should have been celebrating Valentine's Day with my kids.
Oh.
That I should have gotten them a card.
Right.
That I should have acknowledged the holiday to them.
Right.
And I said, well, first off, obviously, you cannot use my family for any kind of yardstick to measure anything.
Right.
I mean, you can't do that thing that normal families do or normal people do where you go, in my family, we would bring the gifts the night before. In my family, we had a tradition or I, you know, you can play the family card a lot of the time. We go, I didn't know because my family did it this way or we never did it that way or so on and so forth. Well, my family never did anything. So the idea, like I'd be over at Kimmel's house and he'd be opening a Easter card that his mom sent from Arizona when he was in his mid-30s.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, your mom sent you a card for Easter?
Yeah.
Why?
You don't even have a middle name.
Because that's what we do. I know it sounds like a big deal, me not having a middle name, until you talk to both my parents
right.
And go, I don't know,
it's
whatever.
It's very telling.
We ran out of, we shot our wad with the first name, and we just felt like we're kind of out of steam.
I'm with you. I don't know about parents and kids on Valentine's Day. I sent my mom a present because my stepdad died a couple years ago, and I knew she didn't have a Valentine. My dad sent me an email. That's about it.
I called my mom.
Well, your dad sent you an email. All right, that's something you called your mom.
Well, I have a...
There's something here.
I have a Damashek-style relationship with my mom, so so calling her on Valentine's Day is sort of a big deal.
Right.
Yeah.
That's sweet. So your wife was of the opinion that there should have been some celebration, some marking of the day.
Well, here's what happened. What happened was is I have things going on that I'm not allowed to talk about that
you
are...
turned into that guy, by the way.
I know.
For years, well, no, railed against that guy.
That guy that Brian speaks of is the guy who brings stuff up. I have an idea for a screenplay, and then you go, what is it? And he goes, I got to wait till I register it.
Right.
That guy.
Can't tell you.
I've brought up well, first off, what I'm doing or some of the things I'm doing, it's permeating my life. So it's hard not to discuss things that are permeating your life. Mm. On the air when this is what I do for a living. I don't want to be that guy, but I will say, and I've said on a couple of occasions, there's a couple things cooking. I'm not allowed to talk about them. I don't bring them up in a bubble. I bring them up as they sort of pertain to other stories, which is to say, I have not been home. I've been very busy. And so I had a full plate yesterday, absolutely full plate after work. And my wife said, well, we'll celebrate Valentine's Day tonight, on Friday night.
Yeah.
And here's my problem. Once you say to me, hey, we're moving Christmas back one day, or we're moving Valentine's Day back one day, or your birthday back one day to the day after, it is officially moved. Your birthday does, if your birthday's the 27th and you say, let's do it on the 28th, I don't say hi on the 27th. Like, there's no half birthday.
Yeah.
And then
sure.
We celebrate the day as if today is Wednesday
right. And
tomorrow is Thursday. So that's number one. So I immediately flip a switch in my mind and go, well, Valentine's Day, Friday, sure. End of that. So I come home and the kids are wearing their, Valentine's Day shirts and they have their little bows in their hair. And Natalie has a pink shirt that says, Daddy's Valentine and all that kind of stuff. And it's really cute. And I kiss them and I'm with them and everything. And they got me cards that, of course, Lynette got and stuff like that. I open the cards. It's all great. But Lynette wants to know, why am I not reciprocating? I haven't gotten anything for the kids. I didn't get them a card. We didn't commemorate this day. And, you know, basically, so I said a few things. The Valentine's with the kids, to me, always feels, it's got a dusting of creepy to it.
It has a light dusting of creepy.
To me, I thought it was about, lingerie and flowers and romantic evenings and chocolates and candlelights and jewelry and stuff. It's weird when you, hey, daughter.
Yeah.
I know Mama's my Valentine's, but, how about you get busy too? It just feels a little weird, but here's.
By the way, if I still had the theme to Taboo 2, I'd be playing.
Thank
so
you.
Imagine in your mind right now.
Right, if your files weren't right. All erased.
I know what you mean about the dusting of creepy, but before we go on to that, at a certain point you will be able to tell us what you're working on, right? It's shortly.
I will tell you on Monday when we come into work on Monday, but we do not come into work on Tuesday because I will be going out of town for one of the bigger things I've done in my career. So yes, you will hear all about it Monday morning, and so will the world, for that matter.
I cannot wait, and Brian and I occasionally, to pass the time, we try to guess.
We have taken guests.
It'll always be a disappointment. that much I promise you.
We've calibrated our guesses. Don't worry.
But everyone's mind will officially be blown.
You're not the new Terminator in the Terminator film?
Yeah, it'll always, whatever I say, it'll be a letdown.
But you don't oversell things, and you say our minds will be blown, so I'm looking forward to Monday.
Yes, they will. So Monday will be a very interesting bomb drop on this program.
We should work in a guessing segment on
Monday. And every other program as well. Will not just be this one. So my wife was getting pissed.
Yeah.
And I came back to her with two things. A, we threw a switch a week ago and decided it was Friday. And B, you're making this argument that it's the kids' day, too. I've seen 200,000 Valentine's Day commercials. None of them involved getting the kids a gift. I said, Madison Avenue invented this day. They're the ones that are selling us crap. There's no such thing as the kids' Valentine's candy, kids' jewelry, kids' flower. It's you and me. It's mama and papa. It's mano y chico. It's girl on dude or dude on dude. But they rarely work the kids into the equation. So I said, this was an accepted notion, one quarter of the Valentine's Day commercials, you know, for the married couples be geared toward, and what are you going to get the kids? Let's not forget the kids. Or here's a kid size.
Well, she did
chocolate,
have the little
whatever.
T-shirt, right? Daddy's Valentine.
Well, it's true. It exists. Although I would say that is almost cliche.
Right.
In a certain way. I would say you could wear that in June and July.
Yeah, daddy's girl.
As well. But, so do you work the kids into this equation? Are you, and, you know, her thing is like, oh, they're never going to get this one back. I said, like, they're not even two. They don't even know. They think they're in Mexico. We've already discussed this. All right. So look, how bad a guy am I for not really factoring the kids into the Valentine's Day?
Well, you know how you say when women tell you, don't get me anything, I don't want anything, that you shouldn't believe them? Maybe when you move the holiday, you should at least mark it by doing something small.
Yeah, you do. You have to. A birthday, a Valentine's.
Right. Christmas.
Christmas, you really don't have to move, or you never seem to unless you're out of town or something like that. But, yeah, you need to pick up the phone. You need to mark it.
It sounds like maybe your Lynette and family time has maybe been a little limited lately because of whatever it is going on in your career.
Yeah.
Well, as it pertains to the kids, too, I mean, you don't want to – this is not one of those holidays you want to build up too much because they're going to be disappointed for the majority of their young lives. They're not going to have girlfriends or boyfriends. You know what I'm saying? Like – this is going to be a big deal, and then it becomes... I know plenty of people that are depressed and stuff on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
This seems like a strange precedent to set it to.
It is. Okay. I know. Get your... And then it's this weird thing where you're always... I don't know. I'm really interested in being a good parent, but I'm not interested in, I don't know, placating them or something, or being like an on-paper parent. I mean, maybe that's an easy excuse, but what I'm saying is I want to support my kids. I want to love my kids. I want to financially support my kids. I also, at times, want to be tough with my kids, and I want them to understand how the world works and what's okay to do and what's not okay to do. And I don't, I feel it's my job to really, like, nourish them, but not pamper them.
I think that's the real Valentine.
With you.
Thanks. Woo. John?
Hey, guys, you know, I think, as far as it goes, I think if you give someone a card, you have to be intimate with them. So, you know, that should be the law. I mean,
well, look, that's the way my wife wants to go. So be it. So be it. And she asked for it, and the boy as well. Yes, John, what's happening?
I love your show, by the way. I love everybody, and I'm glad you got rid of Bonaducci. Anyway,
thank you.
You are gay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am. hey, I have a debacle. Mm-hmm. I'm auditioning for the Last Comic Standing thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I was all hyped up because the judges were going to be these people from The Office, right? And I was thinking it was like a couple girls.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, the TV show The Office?
Yeah. All right. And I thought it was going to be these couple girls, and I'm like, oh, okay, I have these jokes set for them. And then I went and looked online who the judge was in Tempe, and it was the black guy from The Office. Now I'm all intimidated.
Which guy's the black guy from The Office?
The really, like, quiet
the one.
The
dies first.
Dead Leslie Baker, David something. And so I was faked out. Right. I thought it was Leslie, and I was like, yeah, it's still a chick. And then I went and checked online who that was.
Mm-hmm.
It was a black man, and I'm terribly scared of black men.
Why? Did you have some sort of bad experience?
Many.
Really? What happened?
This is Reginald Denny calling. Let's see here.
Oh, that's good.
You should use that.
Yeah.
I haven't, but now current. I have to, like, gear my jokes to not be, racist. And that's where I was going with
that. Yeah, but let me tell you something. You're up in your head. Because I've always said tons of racist remarks over my career, and the blacks love it.
Do they?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not Lisa Lampanelli, so I don't know. You know, I'm not like.
No, I mean, you don't have to do it that way. They just have to know where you're coming from.
Right.
You're allowed to make racist jokes if you're not a racist. That's my opinion, at least. Or maybe I've just decided that. In the same vein that if you move Valentine's Day a day over, you don't have to acknowledge it the day before. I make these sweeping rules that sort of fit my lifestyle, whether it be my lazy lifestyle or my racist lifestyle. Sometimes I'm too lazy to make a racist joke.
Yeah.
That's really the only time I fall short.
Concentric circles.
I used to do, I'll tell you something, really seriously. I used to do a lot of chop busting when I was on MTV, and MTV has a fair amount of black viewers. I don't know how it broke down 10 years ago or 8 years ago or whenever I was on MTV, but they seem to have a lot of black viewers on MTV, and I would do a fair amount of, I wouldn't call it racist humor, but I made some jokes. I busted some chops, and I busted some black chops, and it always worried me a little bit because we would have, you know, I was going to say 50 Cent, but this is probably a little bit before his time, but we'd have all those guys, and we'd have the guys that were hardcore on MTV that were named after weapons. We'd have like MAC-10 and Grenade and Sister Soldier coming in and stuff like that, and I'd be thinking, oh, crap, I hope they didn't hear last week's show kind of thing, and they always did, and they always loved it. They enjoyed it. I don't know. One day I'll make an offense-o-meter pecking order or something. For some reason, the brothers don't mind the chop busting, but what they don't want it.
How dare you?
You see, if you're a 65-year-old Republican who dyes your hair from, gray to red, and you do an AM talk show, and you start in with the nappy-headed hose, you're going to get into trouble. If they perceive you as the man, and you start in on that, you're going to get into trouble. If they perceive you as a comedian, then you're not going to get into trouble, at least in my experience. So I would say what they don't like is when they see you placating.
Right. Don't pander. So should John just
don't be a placator.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be a placator.
Don't pander.
So should John just do whatever material he had already planned on doing for Last Comic Standing?
Yes. That's what I say. All right, now, you want to talk to, you see line 3, Teresa?
Yeah. Oh.
Should we get to that? Is there something to say about it?
Talk to him for a second.
Let's talk to him for a second, yeah.
Rich?
Hey, Ace Man, love the show, and I'm dying to find out. I know what you have on the screen there. But first, I have to yell at Brian for dropping the ball Friday, last Friday. You had Tia Carrera in studio and no Dreamweaver drops.
Wayne's World.
Wow, you're on top of your game, Rich.
Sorry, buddy.
Hey, Rich, ask your question. We'll tease it. We'll go to break, and we'll get the answer when we come back.
Great. I'm dying to find out whether Teresa got engaged last night, and I can't figure out from her reactions because she's not bubbly and she's not a heap of tears.
I know. She usually has two modes, bubbly, heap of tears. T?
Yeah, there's no in-between for me.
Now, T, you were uncharacteristically confident.
Yeah.
That your man was going to ask you for your hand in marriage last night.
Yes, and you made the very excellent point that I think you have your finger on the pulse of the Jews, because you said this isn't like your people. You're usually very superstitious. You don't want to count your chickens.
A lot of wood knocking. It's really the only woodwork the Jews do is knocking on wood because they're superstitious. Yeah, I know, but he was the last one.
All right.
And as I said, gouge the elderly. Little talked about in the Bible. Oh, absolutely. He was a Jew first.
Many complaints at the PBB.
Well, I'll recount my Valentine's Day when we come back.
Please, and the rest of your very poignant questions as well. Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome to the Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up this morning with our program director, Jack Silver.
Jack! Thank God it's Flash Friday, peeps! Today, TV highlights with Joel McHale, comedian Greg Fitzsimmons, the Ace Man goes bananas in This Week in Rage, and your chance to win a signed guitar from Hart in Nicaragua, Name That Tune. Oh, you guys know Hart, Barracuda, Magic Man. Hey, Magic Man, that's what I call my junk, because I like to make it do tricks at kids' parties. Now you see it, now you don't.
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we have your questions at 866-901-ADAM. How say you? But when we left off, somebody wanted to know if Teresa had the question pop. Now, she's in a good mood, not in a bad mood. So I would think yes. But T, again, confident about it.
Well, you know, I made that bet with my mom.
She had a wager with her mother.
Yeah, she was sure that he was going to propose on Valentine's Day. I thought maybe that was a little too traditional. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, he's a traditional guy, so we bet $100. And yesterday, about 10 minutes before we were going to dinner, I was walking up the stairs home, and I was on the phone with my mom. I said, I really don't have a good feeling. I really don't think it's going to happen. And literally 2 feet before I got to my front door and Batman was inside, she goes, you want to double down?
Wow.
So I had 200 on the line.
Wow.
That's how confident I was that I just got the feeling I don't think it's going to happen. So
does your mom have $200?
Yeah, my dad doesn't.
Right.
But I think my mom could sell some pawns and jewelry and come up with $200.
Sure.
I wouldn't collect, but, you know, it's just the joy of winning.
Had you made bets in the past with your mom?
I made one bet in high school. She said, you know, your best friend, Eric, he's gay. I said, no, he's not. Eric dates girls.
Uh-huh.
He's not gay. Mm-hmm. And she said, okay, well, in 10 years, you're going to owe me $50. I said, you're on.
Really?
Teresa won that bet, and the mom never saw the coffee shop again.
So a year from now, we'll have our answer.
Moms know.
Yes.
They have a mom sense of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, I don't think so. And I didn't want to get a little overconfident, as you said.
So you took the double down?
I took the double down.
Okay.
And, so we went to dinner. By the way, when I got home, there was, you know, a dozen roses. There was already balloons all over the place, a card. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's already a lot. I don't need any more than that. Now I've already gotten a lot of gifts for Valentine's Day.
Yes, but you need the marriage proposal.
Right.
That's not a gift.
Right, although it comes with a ring.
Mm-hmm.
So, generally, it doesn't have to. So we go to dinner.
The place you met.
Yes.
Mine came with a ring. I did it over the phone.
You phoned it in, or you actually did it over the phone?
I did it over the phone. I mean, I wasn't out of town or anything. I was just in another part of the house. I got a big place.
Right.
Intercom system.
Listen,
mm-hmm.
What's the difference? She still has to say yes or no.
Hey, sweetie, where are you? In the kitchen? No, I'm in the laundry room. Hey, what are you doing for the rest of your life? Hey, awesome. Hey, I hid your ring down at a place called Polachek's. It's at the mall. Yeah. No, you can use... Yeah, no, they take Visa. Awesome. Okay. Okay, don't disturb me. All right, thank you. Okay, good times. Hey, Mazatov, or, you know, whatever they say. Here we go. Sorry, T.
She'll never forget that moment.
No.
I think you threw the ring at her, basically, in your bathrobe. So we go to dinner, it's sort of at the place we met. They have a little offshoot. It's across the street from our house, and he seemed on kind of a hurry to get out of there.
Out of the restaurant.
Yeah. You know, and I thought, well, he's just being considerate because I have to get up early. He doesn't want us to linger. But he seemed a little nervousy.
He did the move it along thing, like not
yes.
that linger part.
Yes, mm-hmm. It was move it along. No, we won't be having dessert. We're
mm-hmm.
out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So we got home, and he said, get ready for bed. And then he said, now it's time for presents. And he brings out this huge red bag.
Mm-hmm.
It was not like dick in a bag. It was a bag
mm-hmm.
of gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a few of them,
mm-hmm.
four of them. And at first I opened one, and recently I'd said when I was a kid I loved taking baths and I loved rubber duckies.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened it, was a rubber ducky with wearing a little, you know, heart that he'd made around its neck. That was really cute.
Mm-hmm.
And then I you know, I got some other little gifts like that. And then there was a box, and it was a jewelry box.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened it up. And you know how I wear these little initials around my neck? Because I know you guys do nothing but notice my jewelry.
Oh, yeah. F you. Yeah. I can
yeah.
see it from here.
I'm instructed not to stare at your jewelry.
I wear a T and an S, little, you know, gold discs with initials, one T, one S.
Man, wait, move your hand. Oh, yeah.
Well, hey. I thought it was ST.
Yeah, where do you go?
I just needed the D, right?
How long have you been wearing that?
About a year.
You've been here that long, huh?
I've been here almost 2 years.
Wow. Get the S out of town.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
All
right. I've been here like three boyfriends ago.
So, in a jewelry box.
In a jewelry box.
Now, a ring box or a jewelry box, or is there a difference?
It was ring-shaped, but sometimes necklaces are in those ring-shaped
boxes. Yeah, I mean, just to me, it's about size.
Right.
There's the ones watches come in, and then there's the ones, you know.
This was ring sized.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So I open it up.
You know how Dawson calibrates those?
How?
There's half ounce versus lid.
Dude.
The lid is what the watches come
right.
in.
This was a half ounce.
Oh, okay. All
so
right.
I think, wow, it's a half ounce. This could be. And I really got nervous. Really, really nervous. I started getting kind of clammy and shaky.
Mm-hmm.
Had a couple glasses of wine.
Sure.
And so I open it, and he's given me one of these initial gold discs that I wear, but mm-hmm. it's a W, which is his last initial.
Ooh, interesting.
But there's one more present in the bag.
So now this, so your initials now.
That'll be my new name.
His initials.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be, you know, Mrs. W.
Right. I like that.
And
ostensibly.
That was enough for me because that really is saying, you know, we're going to be together.
Right.
You're going to take my name.
Right.
Even if it's not as attractive as your name.
Right.
Again, it's like a Wojahowitz type name. That difficult to spell. So
yeah, yeah.
I have one present left.
It's a mess, yeah.
And I open it, and it's...
Now, what's this come in?
This is like, it looks about maybe like a 3x5, and it's a little mushy. It's clearly not jewelry. It's clearly another cute
gift. It's a bubble envelope.
It's something that's wrapped.
Yeah.
It's
a
soft.
Wrapped child's toy.
Okay.
I open it. Mm-hmm. And
these are all in the same bag
yes.
or box? Okay.
And there's two little rubber duckies. And I'm like, oh, that's sweet. This has been good. I got the necklace and this has been a perfect day. And then I look closely and both of the rubber duckies are wearing rings.
They're both wearing rings.
One of them...
Not
he's wearing an engagement ring, and then he popped the question, and now I'm engaged.
Oh, good for you, sweetie.
That's good times. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow,
that's
and
a nice story.
Burned some calories
yeah.
on that, too.
Well, wait till you hear
Holy
about the ring,
Christ.
Because, you know, I didn't want a blood diamond,
mm-hmm.
and you say, oh, it's canary.
Yeah, it's yellow, yeah.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
It's a lab-made diamond, and they're very hard to acquire because there's no demand and no supply. And on the side...
For the canary variety or all of them?
For the lab diamonds because people don't know they exist. So
uh-huh.
he had to track this down from another state, and then on the side are two white sapphires.
Mm.
So there's no conflict diamonds in my ring, and he designed it and had it made.
Mm-hmm. And who's going after the sapphires? Rich white guys going down into that mine with all their limbs?
Yeah, that's who they send down
there. I think this grow off of trees.
I know.
A lot of scientists died making it.
But how amazing is this lab diamond? It's exactly chemically, wow, optically, in every way. And the canary diamonds are very rare.
Yes. So I like the canary diamonds. Yes, the yellow diamonds, great looking. Well, that's spectacular.
Are you just hiding your hand the whole time, or are we just not
noticed? Oh, my God, I'm so nerve-wracking all morning because Angie asked, and Mike asked, and you asked, and I don't know what came over me. I had to tell Board Op Bill. He's the only one who knew.
Yeah.
I had to tell him.
I saw her finger.
I wanted to see that.
I put my ring on the other hand and turned the jewels inside.
You know, I'm weird because I'm tire-oriented. I notice when people get new tires on their car.
Sort of a ring?
I've always done that where I walk in past people's cars I work with and go, hey, somebody's got some new dogs on them feet. Who got some new tires?
I do that all the time. My husband did that.
Always freaks people out. But jewelry, I don't notice. But congratulations.
Thanks.
Wow. And what a perfect evening.
It was.
And it seems like he covered every base. He was romantic. He did it sort of incrementally. There's always a little head and shoulder fake they like to do,
yeah,
too. Which you don't want to totally, you know, you don't want to bake a cake and bake the ring into the cake.
Too
and
much.
You don't want to get too much and too nutty, but a little zig and a little zag is kind of nice. You don't want to come through the door and have him standing there waiting, holding the ring. Nice. And nice that he waited for the crescendo.
Hurrah.
All right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And Mama's now what?
Well,
you owe Mama.
I owe her $200.
All right.
I called her and told her, you know, oh,
which
you know
is more
what?
Than the best ring 200. Cost, by the way.
No, you know what? The lab diamonds, you know, they're about a quarter of what diamonds are. Mm-hmm. But a yellow diamond is probably going to cost you $40,000 or something like that.
Let's quickly take another phone call before we head into Nicaragua and name that tune. Sean?
Hey, what's up, Edge Man?
What's happening, Sean?
I'm Chad. Before I get started, I just want to let you know I'm a big fan and listening for about 5 years. Love the show.
Wow. You're 21, so since the 10th grade.
Oh, yeah. We used to skip school all the time, go with me in the car, you know.
Thanks, Sean. What's happening? Yeah.
Well, you know, as a fellow atheist, I wanted to ask you if you believe that we're alone in the universe. You think what people see, you think that's from us? You think that's coming from somewhere else?
Well, you know, I have two thoughts about things like UFOs, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
One is, as an atheist, I don't really believe anything until I see it. On the other hand, I do separate man-made or other life form-made things rather than deities, you know what I'm saying? Because who's to say how big the universe is and who's to say what exists on other planets? I think if you were to put a gun to my head, I would definitely say no. On the other hand, there are things that are sort of not explainable. On the other hand, I do feel like we'd have something more definitive at this point. You know, there's always, I mean, let's look at it this way. There's some grainy footage that's from the past. I grew up seeing the same three or four grainy shots of what they thought was UFO or Bigfoot or what have you. Now, every single human being has a cell phone with a video camera in it or whatever. And they're all color and they're all pretty decent. Don't you think in the last 5 years we should have 3,000 times more shots of UFOs? Like, I mean, back in the day, it was just farmers standing in fields going, what? I can't believe my eyes. And then you'd rub your eyes. And then what you do is you dump out your brandy flask and you would shake, you would shake your head.
Or never, take more brandy.
Never again. Or take another hit off, yeah, off it. Now, really, can anything happen? I mean, like I said, a couple of planes hit the trade centers and we had film of the first plane hitting the trade center from five different angles, you know? Can anything really happen anymore without somebody somewhere with some recording device to get it? I don't think in the future from this point on or maybe 5 years ago forward, if a star has sex with somebody, we see it. If somebody gets shot, we see it. If there's a crime, we see
it. Sure, if Michael Richards drops 20 N-bombs, somebody has their cell phone on it.
There's
on
a bars. Film of it. Yeah. So I suspect that we should see if these folks are visiting us with the frequency that they said they're visiting us in the 40s and the 50s and all that kind of stuff. we should be seeing film of it. And I mean, something a little bit definitive, not just, hey, see those lights in the distance? They're moving in a pattern that a jet aircraft could never move. So I do kind of feel that way. On the other hand, once in a while, you talk to a guy who doesn't seem nuts, who really gives you the skinny on it, and you go, it's hard to argue with that. But ultimately, end of the day, where is it? Where's the definitive stuff?
Yes, I do believe in UFOs, if only because just the sheer probability, if each of those stars is a galaxy, I'm not an astronomer, but if each of those stars is a galaxy, the probability of there is more intelligent life out there, it almost has to happen. Number two, if an alien race is so advanced that they are able to travel that far and come to our world, there's certainly advanced stuff to not be seen or recorded.
Right, but how much would they care about being seen or recorded? How much do they know? I mean, whenever we talk about going to explore, and, you know, there's this sort of thought that they're all very much more intelligent than we are, but maybe now as I think about it, maybe we're only using our yardstick to measure intelligence. Sure. What is intelligence other than something the human brain created? And if they don't have a human brain, then who's to say what's up and what's down and what's right and what's wrong? But when we go to other places or attempt to go to other places, we don't attempt to keep a low profile. We go there with a bunch of messages, right? Mm-hmm. We have recorded messages in 20 different languages, and we have songs by Bobby McFerrin, because it seems to be the universal speak of the galaxy. So why would they come here and be so interested in us not seeing them? I mean, wouldn't they approach us the same way we would approach them, which is, hey, fellas, we're here.
Now, think about this. They would observe us, if this happened, they would observe us in the same way we observe amoeba under a microscope. They have no way, an amoeba would have no way of knowing we're even looking at them, and yet we're studying them to know about more about ourselves. They might be on such a higher plane than us, for example. We aren't even aware of them looking at us.
Well, then, if they don't want us to see them, what about all the hundreds of claimed sightings where we've seen them? I mean,
military experiments, I don't know.
Invisible's invisible, but what about all the hundreds or thousands of sightings with the lights moving in different directions and the commercial airline pilots seeing things that no plane could recreate? Mm. Yeah, I do chalk some of it up to the human imagination. And also, again, I don't know, 50% of people believe in UFOs and 75% of people believe in fairies. So, right. I mean, whenever they do those, here's how you know how nuts and how stupid and how superstitious we are. When they do that thing where you go, what percentage of Americans believe in fairies? Like, you'd go like, I don't know, 2%? You can never account for, the mentally unstable. It's like, oh, it's 73%. And you're like, good Christ, what year are we in and where am I living? I don't know. I'm going to just say no, because I'll file it under most things I haven't. I just go through life saying no until somebody tells me yes, until somebody shows me something.
You don't expect to ever see one, but you wouldn't be surprised, I guess, to someday.
Right. And I believe more in the possibility of UFOs than the possibility of God. That's the way I like to roll. All right. We'll take ourselves a break. People rolling in with calls saying congratulations to Teresa. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
All the heartbroken men out there.
By the way, you guys are the first people to find out. Only my mom, dad, and poured up Bill.
Wow.
No, until I told you guys.
We will come back, and when we do Nicaraguan Name That Tune, Ozzy's going to sing heart songs. I think we have a signed guitar.
Yeah.
Oh.
By heart. Here's a tease.
Let me go crazy on you. Crazy on you.
All right, 866-901-ADAM. You want a signed heart guitar. 866-901-ADAM. Nicaraguan, Name That Tune next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time for a little Nicaraguan Name That Tune.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Oswaldo sings the greatest hits of Heart, and you got a chance to win the new CD from Heart, Dreamboat Annie Live. And one lucky winner will win a Gibson Les Paul Ultra 2, the guitar Nancy Wilson plays, autographed by Heart. Don't miss Heart at the Gibson Amphitheater on February 22nd. Call 866-901-ADAM to play Nicaraguan Name That Tune.
What's about love? Do you want something that about you?
On the Adam Carolla Show.
What about love? No less, leave away.
kind of like Heart.
Yeah.
Heart's got a lot of hits. They're one of these bands that probably falls between the cracks of rock time or something. They're not real specific. They've done a lot of rock songs. They've done a lot of ballads. And they were around in an era when there was a lot of crappy bands and acts and stuff. But Heart's a pretty good band. I like a lot of their songs. All right, Nicaraguan Name That Tune. Do we have an intro, Bald Brian?
Of course we have an intro.
Happy Valentine's Day. It's Oswaldo, Nicaragua, Name That Tune. With the music of Heart, you can win a guitar autograph with Heart.
Yeah, Crazy on You is one of the best 20-second openings of a song.
Two of their songs are on the... what video game is that? The guitar, rock guitar?
Yeah. Oh, it is?
Hero, yeah. Good
really?
Stuff. Fun times.
Now, I don't know if they're Canadian. I seem to remember they were Canadian for some reason. I know they're sisters, and I know one of the Hearts is married to the famous Cameron Crowe. And that's as much about the band as I know. All right, let's see. Who called first? It looks like Steve has called first. Steve?
Hi, good morning, everybody.
What's happening, Steve?
Hey.
Oh, just on my way to work to be a mailman.
Hmm. Now, are you walking the route, or do you drive the route?
Oh, I drive to the neighborhoods that I walk.
Mm-hmm. So you drive the Chevette to the neighborhood, and then you hit the beat. Let me ask you this. Are you allowed to use, earbuds and an iPod?
No, we're not allowed to, but I don't, but people do.
And why do they make those stupid things white, you know, those earbuds? Either make them brown or make them beige. White is the one color that nobody really is. You know what I mean? I mean, that kind of white.
It's a branding thing. You always know you're looking at iPod headphones.
But it screams to the world, and especially the stewardess who told me to take it off two times, I'm wearing earbuds.
Right, you need flesh-colored earbuds to hide.
Well, they do that so you let people know that you're not listening to them.
Yeah, I would like flesh-colored earbuds, or even better, ones shaped like big clamp-on earrings.
That's an idea.
Or ears.
Or ears. Either way. Steve?
Yes?
How do you do, by the way, as a mail, as a postal carrier, how do you do around Christmas time?
Well, some years I get absolutely nothing, but, some years I get as much as $50 from somebody, and some people get a lot more.
I look at my mailman as a nuisance, by the way, I must say. I don't get anything good in the mail. All I get is bills and junk mail. I had an interesting thing happen with my mailman and my whatever. I'll tell you my quick Ruby Ridge story. When I was redoing my house, I put a mail slot in my gate. And the mail people said, oh, no, you can't do that. You gotta put a mailbox out on the street so the guy can just pull up in his car and feed it into the box. And I said, I don't want to go outside my gate to go get the mail. And they said, well, we're not going to deliver it in your gate. We're not going to put it through your mail slot. It's regulation that you have a mailbox on your property. And I said, well, then screw it. You keep the mail. And they said, what do you mean? And I said, look, all my bills, everything that I have to pay and everything that's important and everything goes to my accountant. I don't pay any bills. I don't receive any bills. All I get is a ton of flyers from crappy places I'm never going to go to. I get piles of junk mail and the occasional Christmas card, but I don't get any important mail. All the bills, everything goes to an address in Van Nuys. So
yeah,
I said,
deliver there.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, you and Jimmy.
All right, right. We goes to the same place. So I told the post office, F yourself. Go keep my mail. I don't want it. And what did they do? They caved. Good. Screw them. Get out of the car. You're a mailman. I pay $1 million a year in taxes. And everyone does that thing. Oh, shut up, Em. You're not supposed to. F you guys. Pay $1 million and get nothing and then tell me I can't complain. But it felt good. It was nice, and I actually meant it. Go ahead, keep all your junk mail. I get a rainforest worth of junk mail every single week at my house that I don't want.
Yeah, I tried to get... There's some way of getting on a do not mail
impossible.
List. Impossible.
And as I said to my wife, who was like, well, what about the Christmas cards? I said, look, you weigh me the Christmas cards versus the junk mail versus just all the piles of, I have 10 metric tons of junk versus 3 Christmas cards from people who tell you Merry Christmas when we see them at the party anyway. So screw it. Keep your mail. And then they caved. All right, Steve. Good times there, buddy. You're my mailman.
Well, I would do anything for you. You know, your wisdom has made the world a better place.
Thank you, Steve. You ready to play some name that Nicaragua, name that tune with Hart?
Pete.
All right, let's do it. First song.
Let me go crazy on you, crazy on you. Let me go crazy, crazy on you. Oh.
This is an easy one, Steve. What do you think?
Es loco a tú.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Yeah, he's
crazy on you.
Crazy
yeah.
On you.
Es bueno.
Nice, Steve. You're one for one.
Bueno.
Good song. All right. You ready to go for number two?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Come on, hunger, he say with a smile. You know how to love me, let him in high and wide. We'll try to understand.
Taz is pretty good with the heart.
Yeah, try, he has a knack for heart.
Try to understand.
What do you think, Steve?
Es hombre mágica.
Yes, that's right.
Es bueno.
I'm going to give him bonus points for delivering all his answers in Spanish. Yeah. Actually, this is a rare departure from the gypsy woman, magic woman with the cat eyes and the nine lives. The Cajun queen from New Orleans with the cat eyes and the nine lives. That's how they would always do it.
Female version.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the record, whoever the rep was in 1976 came to them and said, hey, sweeties, you're in a rock band. Hello. I don't hear any magic, gypsy woman stuff coming out of you. And they were like, yeah, we're chicks. All right. Well, how about magic gypsy man?
We can give you magic man.
Okay. From New Orleans? He's a Cajun dude from New Orleans. Okay. Listen, you guys hammer out the lyrics. Let's do the next one, Steve.
Okay. Let's go.
I will, I will love you.
The hell?
What?
It's a curveball.
I think it's a curveball.
That was from last week.
Yeah, now is that a Whitney Houston song?
Yeah.
That's the way I feel about you, Steve.
Es bueno.
Hey, Steve, hang on a second because we're running woefully late. Could you do that for me?
Sure.
Hang on one second. We'll come back. We'll mop up the Nicaraguan Name That Tune. T will be primed with the news, and we'll do that next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show, and coming up this morning, we'll sit down with comedian Greg Fitzsimmons.
He's like a Zen master. I just follow him around saying, teach me more cool stuff, man.
We'll find out what pissed Adam off this week on This Week in Rage.
And be proud of it, but shut up about it.
Vote now at AdamCarolla.com. From Ease the Soup, Joel McHale will play us some killer TV clips.
Oh, my God! A dolphin! I love dolphins. I love them.
Teresa Strasser reports the news.
No one will be present at our nuptials.
Brought to you by MSN.com. Have you been to MSN today? Phone number is 866-901-ADAM. And you can stream the Adam Carolla Show at AdamCarolla.com. Just click on Listen Live.
Guys don't want to get married.
Congratulations, Teresa. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we're talking to mailman or postal carrier.
Mail carrier.
They don't like man.
Postal worker.
Right.
Although if you're a guy, mailman sounds pretty good. Hey, mailman, Steve?
It's the ultimate dude, mailman.
That's right.
Yeah, they call us letter carriers.
Letter carriers.
Guy, dude, bro.
Like anyone writes letters anymore. All right, Steve, you're 2 for 2 in the Hart Win the Autographed Guitar Series. We're doing, let's go for 3 for 3. Here we go.
This dream gone when I close my eyes. Every second night, I live another life.
Of course he does.
Hey, Steve, what'd he say?
I don't know Spanish. In dreams?
Mm-hmm. Oh, es malo.
These dreams.
Well, you know, sometimes the mail's late. And let me ask... Can I ask you this, Steve?
Okay.
Lord.
I used to have a garbage man that would show up at about 6:18 in the morning. And I don't mean 6:30. I mean 6:18 with meep, meep, meep. The whole goddamn story. Then with the green guy would show up with the branches and the leaves. And then the recycling truck would show up at 6:40. And I used to go to bed at 2 a.m. and I would wake up every Friday. And I was complaining about this to Dr. Drew. And I said, why is it every place I've ever lived, the effing garbage man comes at 6:30 in the morning and the mail comes at 4:30 in the afternoon? Is there such a place? And there must be some utopia. Now, here's the utopia. The utopia is if the garbage day is Friday, when the garbage comes at 6:20 in the morning, you don't have time to go get the garbage. You have to do it the night before. Imagine this utopia. Imagine a utopia where you were leaving for work in the morning. Let's say we didn't have this horrible job, but you had a normal job. And you were leaving for work in the morning, and you're like, it's 8:45 in the morning. Mm. Oh, it's Friday. Well, first, let's see what mail I have today. Ah, there we go. That's today's mail. And the garbage man's not coming around until noon, so I will just have plenty of time to drag my cans out instead of garbage, 6:30 in the morning, mail, 5 in the afternoon. I want to move to the place where they have that, and I'll pay an extra $100,000 for the house. I really will.
How about if the mailman just puts it right in the garbage for you?
Yes!
The middleman.
I want to know, really, seriously, what is the earliest, or where is the earliest mail? I've lived in 1,000 places all over Southern California, and I've never been in a place where the mail was there when I was leaving for work. You know, once in a while you get a little anxious, like, hey, I'm waiting for something, mm-hmm. and you go, I gotta wait till I get home from work to see if it's in the mail.
Right, or you get the final bill, it's pink, and you know it's pay or die, but it's 4:30, and there's no way you can pay that day?
So, Steve, is there a place where the mail shows up at 8 a.m.?
Well, yeah, the problem around here is that we're also waiting for the mail. Like we're waiting for the mail from the plant up in Santa Clarita.
So you're sorting it, and they have to sort it and process it and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's stuck in traffic on the 405, and mm-hmm. we're waiting for the mail.
Let's play some games.
About the earliest it's going to get to somebody's house.
We could go at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Wow, I'd like to live in that neighborhood, although I'm sure it's a dump. Hey Steve.
Talk to your mailman, and maybe he can rearrange the route for you.
I don't talk to the help. Hey, there's nothing he has that I want. Let's do one more and see if we can't get you that heart guitar, Steve.
Okay.
Flying solo in the wing. I bet you're gonna ambush me. You're having me down, 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 down in my knees. Now you're woosha. Barracuda.
Shaw.
Oh, that's a tough one. Barracuda.
All right, Steve.
It's bueno.
T, what'd he win, by the way?
Steve, you won an autographed Les Paul Ultra Heart guitar. And by the way, Heart will be at the Gibson Amphitheater February 22nd, and they have a new CD out, Dreamboat Annie Live.
Hmm.
Well, this could be the best day ever.
Steve?
Yes.
Let's meet at the Heart Show. I'll be the drunk one. You'll be the guy wearing the black knee socks and the nursing shoes.
I could wear my mailman outfit.
Please. It's hard to look tough in that mailman outfit. I see why dogs go after you. They think you're gay. And they're going, come on. Here comes a gay guy up the... he's wearing a huge leather purse. He's wearing black knee socks. Let's go kick some gay ass.
You've not been to my neighborhood. It's very easy for the mailman to look tough in any outfits.
Really?
The mailman is terrifying in my neighborhood.
Oh, really?
Scary guy.
Well, most are gay, and I know dogs are homophobic, especially the bigger breeds. I know Rottweilers are homophobic. I know German Shepherds they're bred to be homophobic and racist. So they see a gay guy with a big leather satchel coming up the thing and a funky hat. They're like, let's kick some ass. All right, T-Bone.
Yeah.
What's going on in the news?
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser.
Mm. On top of the world.
That's my news.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to focus. I can't stop staring at my ring.
Mm.
But I'm going to try. This headline brought to you by our content partner, MSN.com. A seventh person has died as a result of yesterday's shooting rampage at Northern Illinois University. We should say that a shooter has been identified. He's a 27-year-old named Stephen Kazmierczyk. We're awaiting news now out of Northern Illinois University. This name was floating around in the news, but police had not confirmed until just now. Authorities say the gunman stormed into an oceanology class armed with a shotgun and two handguns and opened fire. He shot 21 people before fatally shooting himself. The Chicago Tribune reports that the coroners released the names of four of the victims, a 20-year-old male, a 20-year-old female, a 19-year-old female, and a 32-year-old female. According to officials, four died at the scene, including the shooter. Three died later at the hospital. School events and classes have been canceled until further notice, and seven counseling areas have been set up throughout the campus, as well as a hotline.
That's the first college Drew and I ever spoke at.
Really? In DeKalb?
DeKalb, Illinois. Northern Illinois. Yes. And we spoke at it a second time later on, maybe a year or so later. Very sad. Good people, good part of the country. I mean, I don't remember much from one college to the next, but it was a good experience, so a very sad day.
Apparently, he was enrolled in graduate school there in 2007. Most reports, he was not enrolled at the time of the shooting.
All right. Well, a couple of things. First off, seems like there's been a rash of shootings, not only in colleges, but in high schools and junior highs. There's been a lot of shootings going on campus lately. The other thing is this guy was an oceanography student. I mean, if
he was a sociology student, according to the reports, he shot up an oceanography class.
I hate to laugh, but first off, DeKalb, Illinois, most people have never heard of DeKalb, Illinois, in Northern Illinois University of DeKalb or at DeKalb, number one. And then oceanography class, I mean, it's now there's officially no rhyme or reason to anything anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I hate to sound like the news people that I always rail against who give you that. Hey, if it could happen here, it could happen anywhere. It always seems to happen there. It never seems to happen at USC or UCLA or NYU or schools that are in the hearts of these metropolises where you think.
Right.
Oh, I mean, USC is nestled in amongst a bunch of gang members, essentially. USC is not in a great part of town. When you thought or think about campus shootings, you would think, oh, well, this is going to happen at a place like USC. Now, maybe it doesn't because gangbangers aren't interested in shooting college kids because they're interested in making money. And this is
alone.
Yes, this is the domain of usually the disgruntled white dude, not the gangbanger living in South Los Angeles. But when I do the, and again, I rail against the, if it could happen here, it could happen anywhere. But in an oceanography class, in DeKalb is about as far away from any kind of rhyme or reason as you could possibly imagine.
That would feel like one of the safest places you could possibly be, nestled on your campus.
First off,
in a class.
There's not even an ocean near that. I mean, taking that, you know, it's sort of like, it's like someone saying, you're going to be about as popular as an oceanographer in DeKalb.
Right.
I mean, they're landlocked. You got Lake Michigan somewhere in the neighborhood, but it ain't an ocean. And I don't even know where the closest ocean is, really, when you're there. You're good distance away from any ocean to study. Seems a bizarre study for that university. But anyway, yes, you're sitting in DeKalb, Illinois, home of Cindy Crawford, home of barbed wire, and you're in an oceanography class.
It was 160-some person lecture hall or lecture class, as I read. My guess is it was just one of the more popular rooms and buildings on campus, probably one where a lot of introductory classes.
About 162 registered students in the class that met in that large lecture hall.
Could have been any class, probably.
Bad times.
I know. Well, on a much lighter note, until recently, Grace Sines Lopez was the mayor of Alice, Texas. Last August, her neighbors, Rudy Gutierrez and Shelley Cavazos, were going out of town, and they asked Grace, the mayor, to watch their shih tzu, Puddles.
Mm-hmm.
A day after they left town,
Jesus Christ,
Grace called them and told them that Puddles had died.
Mm-hmm.
But one of Rudy and Shelley's relatives later saw a shih tzu named Panchito, that looked a lot like Puddles at a dog groomer. So Rudy and Shelley realized that Grace had stolen their dog, that their dog had not, in fact, died, and that the mayor of the town had not only taken their dog, but renamed it. Grace ended up getting indicted on two felony counts of tampering with evidence and concealing evidence. Plus, Rudy and Shelley have filed a lawsuit against her. Not surprisingly, Grace resigned as mayor, but she claims she was acting in the dog's best interest because she believed it would die living with her neighbors. Here she talks to Meredith Vieira about why she wanted to save the dog.
I know, Grace, that you've resigned as the mayor of your town. You face up to 10 years in prison for obstruction of justice. Do you think that this was worth it?
Being the dog animal lover that I am, I think it's worth it.
Really?
Incredulous.
What country did this happen in again?
Here, right here, Texas.
Well, really?
Alice, Texas.
Don't mess with Texas. This country.
Oh, yes.
All right. So Ponchito's from here.
Ponchito's from here. Formerly Puddles, Meredith went on to say.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
Why not give the dog back? You have no intention of doing that.
Because they cannot take care of it. They will not take care of it. His condition took time for him to get in such a deplorable state that it took time. It was neglect.
What country is this in?
Right here, Texas. Huh. Well, Meredith Vieira has been very patient so far, but here she loses patience.
It was brought up to me by my sister. She kept insisting that I file a report, and I kept telling her that I would never do that to Shelley because I didn't want her involved with the police or a police report, and that I couldn't do that, you know, and she was very adamant about me doing it, but I never did it.
You couldn't do that to Shelley, but you could steal her dog.
I didn't steal the dog.
Well, what do you think you did then, Grace? How would you describe what you did?
I did not return him to save his life, but I did not steal it. She turned it over to me. I just did not return it, but I did not go to her house and steal it.
Well, Puddle's owners say they were not mistreating the dog.
Well, look, I've seen enough Westerns. You do that thing where you put Puddles out in the street, and then they both call for it, and you see what direction
right.
Puddles goes.
But do you call it Puddles or Ponchito?
Well, that's the point.
They each call it.
Well,
that's the way they used to settle it. There used to be a lot of horse-related disputes back in the day.
And whoever the horse would go to was the owner?
That's right. They'd be like, that's my horse. That's my horse. And then the sheriff would take the two guys and they'd put them out there. And if the smart guy would stand next to the watering trough, and then then they would call the horse. Come here, Ponchito! Or Puddles. And then the horse, I would answer to Ponchito, by the way. I don't like Puddles.
I think it's cute.
It's a put down.
It implies a lack of control.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. It means I should be wearing a diaper. Yeah.
Well, I've got a pressing question for you.
Hold on, can anyone be mayor these days of any town?
That makes
woman seemed like, first off, seemed like she was struggling a little with the language, and then secondly, she seemed semi-retarded.
It's a border town.
All right. Borderline town, or it's actually on a borderline?
Border of Oklahoma and Texas.
Awesome. All right.
Okay, here's my pressing question.
Mm.
In an age where porno is free,
we gotta open
those
borders up. That's my whole feeling. We need less staffing at the borders. I'm turning this baby around.
When's the last time
hide your shih tzu.
A wall stopped.
Yeah, wall never stopped anyone from doing anything ever. That's right.
Now that porno is readily available on the internet.
Now we're talking.
Is there such a thing as a peeping Tom anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out there is.
Mm.
Sounds quaint.
It is. It sounds kind of retro.
Yeah, it's like pickpocket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear about those anymore. Well, Jeremy Lynn of Greensboro, North Carolina, and his girlfriend were lying in bed the other night when Jeremy heard something underneath the bed. He figured it was just his dog. Neither Puddles nor Ponchito. But when he looked, it wasn't his dog that was making all the noise. It was a man he had never seen before with his pants down. Jeremy says, quote, I looked underneath there. I saw these eyes staring back at me. I was like, what the crap? This ain't normal.
Oh, my God.
Jeremy grabbed the guy and dragged him out from under the bed with
not a Jew.
With his pants down. Don't know if he was circumcised. He says he proceeded to slap him around a little while they waited for the cops to get there. The man identified himself as 20-year-old Donai Zabedra Ilario. He told the cops.
Definitely not a Jew.
What country is this from?
Right here in North Carolina.
Wow. Well, look, first off, I wouldn't have dragged the guy out from under the bed. I would have put like a holiday fogger or something under it. I would try to kill it like a roach. Right. You know what I mean? I would have weirded. I would have more tried to keep him under the bed than tried to get him out from under the bed. That guy had to be high as a kite, though. Well, right? That's drugs.
It sounds like it. He told, I mean, because you're obviously taking an enormous risk. It's not like you're peeping through a window, peeping from under the bed in their house. He told cops this was the first time he had broken into a house, but he admitted to peeping into eight other houses in Greensboro. He's now a suspect in a string of Peeping Tom cases.
Suspect.
I had a guy under my bed Sunday morning, but after about hour 11 of me breaking down the game film from View, he eventually just got up, zipped his pants up, and went, I can't take it anymore, and he just walked right out of the room. My
you
wife
complained
agreed.
Away a Peeping Tom.
He was under there, you know, hoping to catch me being intimate. And me using the TiVo and watching The View on Sunday and stopping it every 10 seconds and explaining why Joy Behar's joke wasn't funny. Eventually, he just had an impacted ass full and he got up and he said, forget this.
He was trying to get a view, not the view.
That's right. He said, forget you. That's what he said. And he just walked out. Forget you.
Forget you. I can't take it anymore. Well, this Peeping Tom is also suspected of spying on a woman in a Walmart bathroom. And he told cops he planned on spending the entire night under the bed so he could watch Jeremy's girlfriend get dressed in the morning.
Wow.
It's hardcore.
She must be hot.
Or he's just a deviant.
Yeah. Well, let's get this guy a computer.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Opening at the box office this weekend, The Spiderwick Chronicles.
Yeah. I've been seeing those signs. I don't know. It feels like a ripoff of those, the Lion, the Tiger, and the whatever, and the Chronicles of Narnia, and all that kind of. Is it all that kind of stuff? Are they tapping in on that Harry Potter stuff and all that Narnia stuff?
It's a story about twin brothers who discover a secret world filled with magical creatures that can only be seen after reading a special book.
I'd like to find a secret world that I could nap in.
It's the dragon movie of Spiderwick.
Nice. Yeah. It had no magical, mythical creatures, just a lot of beige and taupe and a tofu that I could spread out on.
Soothing sounds or just really quiet?
Yeah.
This movie stars Weeds' Mary Louise Parker, plays the mother of the twins. Nick Nolte, Martin Short, and Seth Rogen do some of the voices of the creatures they meet. There's another one called Definitely Maybe, starring Ryan Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
As a man in the middle of a divorce who's telling his young daughter the story of the three great loves of his life. But since he's changed all the names, she has to figure out which one of the women he's describing is her mom.
Yeah, heard that was decent. He is a really nice guy.
You met him?
Yes, I guest starred as myself, as I've done many times in certain sitcoms, and Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
I remember that.
That's where he got his start.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he was on that.
And they were some of the nicest, friendliest people on the planet.
What happened to the girl? Was her name Trailer or something like that?
Trailer Howard
was
her
cute.
Name. Yes. I don't know what happened to her, but you haven't heard from her in like the last 10 years?
Yeah.
That means August is probably trying to book her right now.
Oh, I'll look forward to seeing her on Monday when she comes in.
Ryan Reynolds feels like sort of like the male Katherine Heigl, like it's only a matter of time before he becomes a superstar. He's a star now, but
yes,
like an A-list star waiting to happen. Very charismatic.
Super charismatic, super nice looking, and has a great sense of humor. And again, I haven't spoke to him. I think I spoke to him at a Super Bowl a couple of years ago for some Rock and Jock football game. I think that was the last time I saw him, but really nice guy. He must be Canadian.
I think he's Canadian.
He absolutely is.
Wasn't he dating?
Alanis Morissette.
Right.
Yeah, once in a while, when you find someone who's really good looking and real humble and real down to earth, like especially a chick, like, wow, that chick's hot. Wow, that chick's really nice. Wow, she has a great sense of humor. You go, oh, Canadian.
Yeah.
That explains it.
You scratch a lottery ticket, there's a maple leaf.
Right. If she was from Orange County, she'd be a vacuous bitch.
Oski wee wee.
Oh, no.
Oski
wawa. Oh, are you kidding me? Oh, that's right.
That's the opposite.
All right, I stand corrected. Sorry, go ahead. Rachel Perry's from Canada.
Oh.
That's a little inside joke. For
yeah, a little inside joke from some years ago.
I don't recognize that.
Yeah.
In the movie, Ryan Reynolds plays the father of a little girl who is Little Miss Sunshine's Abigail Breslin.
Mm.
Yeah, and the three women who he had romances with are Rachel Weisz, gorgeous, love her, Elizabeth Banks, and Isla Fisher from Wedding Crashers.
Mm-hmm.
Three under-the-radar hotties, by the way. The blonde girl is from 40-Year-Old Virgin. You recognize her as the
Elizabeth Banks.
Bookstore worker.
Oh, okay. You can also see Jumper, starring Hayden Christensen as a man who discovers he has the ability to teleport.
Got a little too much CGI in that for me just from the trailer. I am officially effed out with the CGI. Unless you can pull it off. Or actually, the CGI to me needs to be used like you're using paprika and you're making a stew. I don't want a paprika stew. I want a dusting of it. I want it to bring the flavor out in the stew, but I don't want to be overwhelmed by it. I feel like we haven't quite worked that technology out. And it works great when you have an action movie and it's a bunch of action, and then every once in a while you have to crash Air Force One, and that's a little CGI, and then it's back to the live action.
When in doubt, go with the director's track record. And this guy, Doug Liman, did Swingers. Great movie. Go. Very good movie. Mr. and Mrs. Smith and Born Identity. He can do no wrong. So
all right.
I will
great
see
track
movie.
Record. Yeah. Right. Lastly, a movie that Adam, I know.
Swingers, too much CGI.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know you will be seeing this. Mm. Step Up to the Streets. The sequel to 2006's Step Up.
Hold on. Trailer Howard is in Monk.
Oh, that's nice.
Now
okay.
I hear.
I've never. That's Monk is one of those shows I know I should watch. Everyone loves it, and I've never seen it.
Me too.
And if I just want to like stare at somebody who's neurotic and has compulsive disorders,
what should you have a frying pan for?
Thank you. Step Up to the Streets is about a group of dance students who decide to prove their skills by entering into an underground dance competition.
Underground? There's a lot of underground competitions going on, which really makes me wonder how many of those exist in real life. You know, the fight clubs, the underground. I'll buy underground like cockfighting in Mexico, but dance competitions.
Adam, I'm in an underground dance fighting competition.
Oh, are you? Jesus, I stand corrected.
Sorry.
And let me tell you, underground. The only underground stuff there is really is stuff that involves sex. It all gets down to sex. The underground fighting eventually turns into underground, effing. The underground dancing is underground effing. I mean, the real underground stuff means that someone's underwear is coming off. That's how the underground goes. If it's not that, it goes above ground and somebody pays to see it and somebody makes some money. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news sponsored by MSN.com. Have you gone to MSN today?
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser.
Hey, Bald Brian.
Hey.
What's the chick from Species?
Natasha Henstridge.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I bring her up because she's...
Mike Madsen. Oh.
One of the only celebrities that's ever had a crush on me is
she's
Natasha Henstridge.
I don't know.
And she is...
She's phenomenal.
And she's really cool, and I was doing my Canadian hot and cool thing.
Right.
She's from Canada Way.
Wow.
And if she was, again, from Orange County, she would be a raving lunatic.
By the way, though,
vacuous bitch.
Fergie and Natalie Maines and Margaret Cho have had crushes on you, if I'm not mistaken.
That's true. But I would say that Cho
They don't add
negates
up to Natasha.
All that doesn't add.
She neutralizes his.
Well, hold on. You got Fergie.
I love her.
Who was the other one?
Fergie, Natalie Maines, one of my idols.
Natalie Maines runs hot and cold. She's beautiful sometimes. She puts on a little weight other times. But
she
I'm gonna take Fergie. Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take Fergie's 7.5.
Are we grading on the curve? Like if Natasha Henstridge sets it at a 10?
She sets the bar.
That will not be kind.
Anyone who's seen the first Species, I mean, you really, I don't care if you were standing there with your gym coach, your dad, and your priest, you would start masturbating if you saw that play.
She was a real specimen.
You take, you take Fergie, I'll give her 7.5. I'll give Natalie Maines a 6.5 because there's too much fluctuation there.
What about the singing?
Hold on. We're aesthetically oriented.
All right.
I'm going to go ahead and add those two numbers up. We get a 14. I got to deduct 4.5 for Cho. That gets me down to a 9.5.
That is unkind.
And then we have Hentridge is a 10. Sorry, sweetie. Brian's right. Does not add up.
They don't add up.
I don't know about that math.
I got to tell you, my buddy Ray, who's an arm twister, you know Ray.
Oh, yeah.
He likes to put the screws to people.
Oh, yeah.
He pinned her down one day, and he said, seriously, I'm not kidding you. Would you have? She said, absolutely. Had a crush on him. Would have gone out with him, you know, back in the day. Right. Oh, I was livid when I heard that. Livid.
This is Natasha.
Mm,
the
yeah.
10.
And again, from old Canada way, they just like to drink beer and ice fish.
Canada makes you humble.
It does.
I think so.
Some about the weather over there.
My whole dad's side of the family's from Canada. I spent a whole summer up there. Good people.
Very really humble.
And by the way, in the television news business, a lot of Canadian news reporters and anchors, they seem well-versed in politics.
How about that?
Yeah. Evan, they must stress something like education or something over there. Here, if you're hot, you find out by the seventh grade, and then someone hands you a book, and you start laughing.
I'm going to have to read this.
What are you going to do with this? Oh, you know what? I could use it to do my nails on so I don't smudge the desk. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, This Week in Rage, what do we have? The Amber Alert signs, TV shows from the 80s where the bad guys had goatees, plane travel taking too long, gift certificates and lottery tickets, and celebrity wives who pretend they don't know that their husband's famous before they met them. We'll take a quick break. This Week in Rage, and then comedian Greg Fitzsimmons next.
Right now on the Adam Carolla Show, This Week in Rage.
You're crapping in our punch bowl.
We'll count down the top five things that pissed Adam off this week, as voted by you at AdamCarolla.com.
Now look, a lot of people have that thing where it's like, hey man, let bygones be bygones. Kiss my ass.
Gentlemen, start your anger on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, This Week in Rage. Spent the whole time in the bathroom talking about Natasha Henstridge.
With who?
Bald Brian.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you know what I said to him?
What?
It's why I get mad at all those, you know, top 10 lists that Stuff Magazine puts out, because they don't make a distinction between cute, you know, Natalie Portman, very attractive, cute, or someone like Hayden Panettiere or whatever her name is.
You called her a cankly munchkin.
She's cute. Look, if I was working...
She likes cankles and munchkins.
If I was working at the Flask liquor store on Ventura, like I was back in the early 80s, and I was dating her, I'd be pretty happy about it. But
you'd have Save the Dolphins bumper sticker on your car.
But if you put her next to Natasha Henstridge, and as I said to Bald Brian, and I don't know why I picked this guy, and it's a little bit of a... little bit of a sports reference, but I said it's like saying Don Beebe, the old white kind of possession receiver who played for the Buffalo Bills all those years. It's like saying, yeah, him and Terrell Owens, they're both wideouts. They both play in the league. They're both pretty good receivers. No, one is a different breed.
One's a once-in-a-generation talent. The other is a good, serviceable, fine example of a wide receiver.
Right. There, a lot of those chicks that are on that list are, let's say, under 5'6", and like well under 5'6". To me, sorry, you don't even make the cut, because what we're looking for is touched by God, not cute in the face. I went to high school with a bunch of them. I don't know if it's their publicist or who it is, but if you put Britney Spears next to Natasha Henstridge, you'd never stop vomiting when you look toward Britney Spears. If you put almost anything next to Natasha Henstridge, that's the way it would be. Britney Spears, and it's starting to come out now, but I'm talking about Britney Spears 5 years ago. Cute.
You know, for years, if people would use Cindy Crawford an example, it's like, oh, she's no Cindy Crawford. They would use Pamela Anderson as an example. Oh, she's Pamela Anderson hot. Natasha Henstridge should have been the example.
That's right.
Cindy Crawford was pretty amazing.
Oh, no, I'm not saying instead of. I mean, like, she should have had her time. Like,
yeah, she never had her time.
Henstridge.
Maybe it's because her body of work is limited.
Yes, not, yeah.
Yeah. What do you mean?
She did Species 2?
She did Species 1, Species 2, Species The Reckoning, and then there was
the Species DVD.
I did see that, and then there was the prequel to Species.
Species.
All right, where were we?
Rage.
Week in Rage.
This Week in Rage.
I'm angry.
What a dick.
I pay taxes, bitch.
What? Number five.
The Amber Alert on those super, super expensive signs we buy here in Los Angeles. The electronic freeway signs, The ones that give out no useful information yet must cost the taxpayers millions and millions of dollars. I mean, you could only imagine what one of those huge electric light-up freeway signs, you could only imagine what we're bidding on for that little puppy, right? And about all they do ever is they say 20 minutes to downtown and everyone just slows down when they pass underneath them. But we have found one good message for them. When a welfare dad collects his daughter and says he's going to Orange County for good this time, we light it up and say, Amber Alert, everyone. Everyone look out for beige 87 Honda. Well, that stops traffic. But the problem for me is not that a kid has been abducted. It is the name, the Amber Alert. It's a color. I know there was a chick named Amber who was abducted once, but is there not one named Judy? Or Sarah? Or Jill? Or Lauren? Or Lori? Or Teresa? Or Angie? Is the only chick that ever got abducted in a car named Amber? And now it's confusing because I'm driving along the freeway, half drunk, and I see that sign up there. I didn't say totally drunk. I said half drunk. And I see that sign up there, and it says Amber Alert, and I go, holy Christ, DEFCON 5. The terrorists have landed. That means they're invading. We have a terrorist chart. It has a bunch of super confusing colors on it. And by the way, when are we going to admit that thing has not worked out? Does anybody, like, if I did a polling of 100 Americans and I said, all right, close your eyes, let's go through the terrorist color wheel one more time. It's been in existence for 5 or 6 years now. Let's go ahead and do it. What do you got for me? Do you think those Americans could tell you how many colors were on the wheel, what colors were on the wheel, what the biggest threat color was on the wheel or the least? Really? We couldn't just go 1 to 5? Is somehow magenta is inherently more dangerous than burnt orange? Really? All right. Anyway, freeway signs. Light them up with goddamn information that has to do with the goddamn freeway and pick a chick name. From now on, it is a Nancy Alert.
Wait, that could be confusing.
Number 4.
Gay guys on the loose. TV shows from the 80s with the goatee, and that meant you're evil. Yes, I miss this time. There was a time when you could judge a guy and you knew who the bad guy was. You knew who the bad guy was because he had a goatee and he had a tattoo. Now every third guy in the sales department has a tat and a goatee. I don't know who the evil is anymore. And again, people, I profile. That's the way I get around. You understand? I walk down the street and I see a dog coming down the street. Now, either that dog's a breed that doesn't bite or it's a breed that oftentimes bites. And either that dog is wagging its tail or the fur is standing up on the back of the dog's spine. And guess who is profiling? Mwah! And guess who else profiles? Yaw! You just don't like to admit it because you think you're too good. Well, we profile with animals and I profile with people. And when I see the tattoo and I see the goatee and I see the black members only jacket, I know it was a bad guy from the 80s. Now every single other Yahoo and Nancy boy comes in here with his tat and his thing, and I no longer know who the felons are anymore, or the sailors for that matter, with all your crackhead tattoos and all your stupid goatees. Lose the facial hair, hit the laser, and let me know who the real bad guys are.
Number 3.
Plane travel taking as long today as it took in the, well, this says 70s, but it's really 60s. I mean, the jet airliner's been around probably since the late 50s, but it came into worldwide use in, let's say, the 60s. So in 1968, 40 years ago, in 1968, if I went down to LAX and I was flying into JFK on a plane from 1968, it would take me exactly as long in the air as it does now, except for we forgot about one thing. Let's tack on 2 more hours at the airport. So not only is the plane travel exactly the same as it was 40 effing years ago, we can tack on another hour and a half at the airport. So instead of a 6-hour flight, it is now 7.5 hours committed to getting cross country. And listen, everybody, travel. modalities of travel? Have you not seen the movies? Have you not read the books about the future? That's how we measure the future. It's all about travel. Oh, you're not driving along in your dad's old Buick. You're in a hovercraft now. You're in George Jetson's car. You're going to be transported. If you think about the constants in every single depiction of the future, it's all about travel. And guess what, people? It never slows down. It's not like, well, today it's 1935 and we use trains. But in the future, man will travel by donkey. No! We travel, we get there 10 times as fast as we do in this present day and age. 40 years takes exactly the same time. Richard Branson, if you're listening, if you're not masturbating to Teresa Strasser, I say you work on that plane. I say we take all the money that we're putting into the space shuttle, by the way, and that whole stuff where we go, hey, guess what, everyone, we're going to the moon one more time. What do we do? Leave something behind last time? What the hell's on the moon? Look, you want the moon? Here's what you get. Get in your car in Los Angeles, go to Vegas. Halfway there, there's a place called Baker. Stop the car, have yourself a nice strawberry shake at the Bun Boy, and then walk about 100 yards into the desert and stop. That's the moon. I'm not tired of the moon. I want to get to a place where there's booze and chicks and fun and relatives. That's called New York. I want to do it in 3 hours in the next 10 years. All right.
Number two.
Well, the station's not going to like this because they advertise, but during the Christmas break, I was hearing commercials on this station and many other stations, the gift certificate for lottery tickets. Now, look, buying lottery tickets yourself is a certain form of retardism. It's a kind of defeatism meets retardism. It's basically you saying, look, I'm a loser. I got one shot at life. And that's to go talk to some steely-eyed guy through some Lexan. And maybe God will smile upon me. And by the way, God punishes people who buy lottery tickets. Haven't you seen the news reports? But anyway, it's a certain kind of retardism to buy lottery tickets. You're a loser. You buying them as a gift, that's essentially you trying to indoctrinate your family and friends into your retarded loser lifestyle. That's bad. You buying a gift certificate for lottery tickets? Well, that has entered a strata of retardism that can't be measured by the human mind, and it can't be seen by the naked eye. Yes, this is me buying you a gift certificate so you can get in your slippers and house coat and haul your loser ass to the 7-Eleven, and then what? Hammer it? For what? How does it work? Do you only get to get lottery tickets with it, or can you cash it in for a Slurpee and a Lowrider magazine? Either way, how many times do I have to say it? It is state-sponsored gambling. It's hypocrisy of the highest order. And anyone who does this has made a deal with the devil. And anyone who buys me a gift certificate for a lottery, I'm going to use it to chop up blow and do a nice rail in your name. Hey, everybody, but the schools benefit. The schools, you mean the ones, the L.A. Unified schools, the ones I can't send my twins to because they're too dangerous and no one gets educated? Those schools benefit? Well, let me just ask something. Is there some school system in Oregon that all the money goes to that I'm not aware of? Yeah, because I'm confused. Because we've made billions and billions of dollars ripping off poor people in this country because of the lottery over the last 20 years. Because it benefits the schools. What schools? LA Unified? Have fun. Ridiculous. It should be abolished. It's pathetic.
Number one.
Celebrity wives. Celebrity wives who pretend they didn't know their husbands were celebrities before they met them. Look.
Gary Coleman's wife.
Gary Coleman. Yeah, what did you think?
Well, in her defense.
What do you think Gary Coleman did? Like, he cleaned aquariums or something? What business did you think Gary Coleman... Who does... And by the way, would you want to marry someone that stupid? I wouldn't want to marry someone who didn't know who Gary Coleman was. But again, the greatest one is Carl the Mailman Malone, the great Utah Jazz forward. When his wife, his beauty queen wife, gets interviewed, she explains that she just went to the mall and saw a big sign that said the mailman and saw a 9-foot black man, the only one in Utah, with a line of autograph seekers going around the block and assumed he was a mailman. Sure, my mailman's a 9-foot black man who signs. And I've oftentimes said to him, hey, Sam, how about the mail Friday? And he said, no, can do. I got to go to the mall and sign autographs. So, wow, you guys are really popular. I'm tired of this line of crap. Just admit you knew who the guy was, and that's why you dug him and you were hot enough to get him. I'll respect the truth. As a matter of fact, I respect it more. Guys don't pull this crap. It's not like Morgan Fairchild's husband goes, Dynasty? What's that? I never heard of that show.
Timely.
Thank you. All right. It's not like Cindy Crawford there. You mentioned her before. It's not like her husband never opened a Vogue magazine. Listen, we're honest. We're guys. We know your models. We know your actresses. That's why we want you. And by the way, what super smoking hot chick wants to marry a mailman anyway? Sorry, Steve, who played our show a little earlier. But seriously, just admit it and let's move on. All right.
Until next time.
Hold on a second.
This week.
Oh, what an ass.
In rage.
Broken a sweat.
You described also a very fascinating new breed of loser, the defeatitard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're defeatist and retarded.
Yeah, you're stupid and defeatist.
Right.
You're throwing your hands up and you're saying, I got one shot in life, and unfortunately, it's more than a million to one.
And maybe not as effective as that, you also came up with the Nancy alert.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. But again, everybody, gambling is illegal. It's a vice and it's bad. That's why you can't bet on football.
Yeah, okay. But our schools are so good.
They're so good. They're so awesome. I have to have a conversation with my wife every other day about where we're going to send our kids to school and how much money it's going to cost me because LA Unified. Awesome. So here's my plan. We should A, open the borders, B, start another lottery, because I'm doing the awesome LA Unified School District math on both those. All right. And what, 50 years from now, utopia? Yeah. Plan. Awesome plan. Awesome plan. As a matter of fact, let's give a lottery ticket to everyone who comes over the open border from Mexico. And before you know it, LA Unified School District, pow, number one, not the country, the world. All right, folks, fantastic plan. We'll take ourselves a break. Greg Fitzsimmons is coming in. He's angry. He's getting a fight with Dave Navarro.
Really?
Yeah. Greg Fitzsimmons in studio next.
I have two young kids at home. They're, I don't know the ages. They're small. They're very short. And it's hard. I'm on the road, and I just picture my son going to bed at night and being like, Mommy, where's Daddy? Well, he's at the Green Bay Chuckle Hut following his destiny. Doesn't he know it's not working out? Go to sleep, sweetheart. Go to sleep. But don't dream. We got enough dreamers in this family.
And now comedian Greg Fitzsimmons on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Greg.
Great to see you guys. Teresa, congratulations. Couldn't be happier for you.
Thank you so much.
That's great news. Although, you know, every time I would get things would be bad with my wife, which isn't a lot, but occasionally, I would always think, you know, I got Strasser on the bench, you know?
Yeah, that's the way I had her. I figure I had her in the bullpen. I'd just do that thing where I tap my right arm three times, and she'd come running.
Jogs out.
She'd come jogging out in a windbreaker, or maybe better yet, a golf cart bullpen shaped cart. Like a baseball.
Well,
I'm the kind of girl you put on deck, I think.
Well,
on the back burner.
Good vowel in the middle of that word.
Something, something happened in the mid-70s where we figured out that we could shape fiberglass into any shape we wanted, and we went sick for about 3 years. Bob Hope's nose and face on a golf cart, baseballs.
The Pope-mobile.
Pope-mobile. We went sick, and then we toned it down at a certain point.
Yeah, now all you have left is the Macy's Day Parade, which goes old school, and then the balloons always crash, and one person dies every year.
And then you have to talk to the person's family. Like here's dying. Dying is bad, but there's bad ways to die within dying.
Yeah.
They always think about the parents of the kid that went off to college, and then the roommate found him with the sweatpants around the ankles and the hefty bag around the head.
Yeah.
And the Victoria's Secret catalog out. Yeah. And, you know, that conversation. Wow, 19. Mm. What happened to Tim?
Yeah.
And then each parent shouts out a different answer. One yells tiger attack, the other yells scuba diving incident. You know, like, that's my thing. I'm going to tell my wife, if the sun goes that way, first thing we do before the grieving, let's get on the same page.
Yes.
The same page.
Well, the 4-year-old is suffocated by the Mickey Mouse floating balloon.
Right.
Yes.
You know, it's a cute image, cute kid, cute Mickey Mouse, death.
Right. And then the poor person hearing it has to do that thing where they go, wow, I'm sorry for laughing, but that is tragic.
Greg, what's this about a beef with Dave Navarro?
It's not a beef as much as like, I think that he took it to new heights. I voiced my grievance that as a performer, I was hosting the Porn Awards.
Right, AVNs.
The AVNs, which will be premiering March 14th on Showtime.
And by the way, there are certain, you know, in a performer's life, especially stand-up comedian's life, there's certain benchmarks where you know you've arrived.
Sure.
In the past, it was Johnny Carson waving you over to the couch, you know? In the present, I would say be hosting the Porn Awards in Vegas, right?
It's Jenna Jameson waving you over to the couch.
Right.
And for me, you know, me and my mother, we'd had that dream for a lot of years.
Sure.
And to see it come to fruition was powerful. And then to stand up there and look out and see, first of all, you got 7,000 coked-up narcissistic porn stars. They're paying attention. But little midget Dave Navarro in his 3/4-length leather trench coat and his black sunglasses, arms crossed, is ignoring me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the thing is, as a comic, you just start to fixate on that one guy.
Right.
And it just, as a fellow performer, I just felt like it was insulting. And that's all. That's all I said. And then he went on Howard Stern. He blogged about it. And then he went on Howard Stern and said, and somebody called in on my radio show the other day and said, you should do a high-profile pay-per-view boxing match. And I said, I'm here. I'm ready. I'll take the call right now. If Navarro wants to call in right now, the Mexican Prince, if he wants to call in and set it up, I'm in.
You'll do it.
I've never trained as a boxer.
But you're an Irish man, and your dad was an alcoholic.
And very abusive.
You can brawl.
So you can take a punch, right?
I can take a punch.
Yeah, people don't realize when you do a show and you're on stage and you're performing and you're doing a roast, for instance, and you're staring at Paris Hilton, who's talking on her cell phone in the middle of your effing roast, it's weird because what you want is flow, and this is a speed bump or a pothole in your beautiful drag strip. You know what I mean? It does something. And then if you're like Greg, and especially like me, and I imagine like Teresa, you'll fixate on it.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be like, who's that C talking to? And then before you know it, you're thinking about Paris Hilton instead of doing the very important work of making fun of Bea Arthur and what a man she's become.
Yes, Jeff Ross.
That's what I'm saying. You're up there to make insulting jokes about Ron Jeremy, and the next thing you know, you're staring at Navarro, and he's giving you the stink eye through the Wayfarers.
And it's like, look, I'm a fan of his work. I love Jane's Addiction. I loved every band he's been thrown out of for being a tool.
But can I say this about Navarro? I would love to hate Navarro, too, with the nipple rings and the tats and
guy-liner.
The eyeliner and the guy liner and all that stuff.
The elevator shoes.
But when you speak to him, when you spend time with him, he's the nicest guy in the world. Mm. He really is. Him and Slash of Guns N' Roses are two of the sweetest guys in rock and roll.
Tommy Lee is a very nice guy.
But that's because he's incredibly dumb.
Yes.
And he does not know how to be mean.
Yes.
But yes, Tommy Lee is a sweetheart, and so is Slash, and so is Navarro.
But as far as fighting Navarro, doesn't he seem a bit scrappy?
Well, you know, look, he's Latino, so I think I got to take him in an early round because he's gonna go the distance. Those guys are used to working overtime. They'll mow, they'll wash dishes until wee hours. I'm Irish. I'm lazy. I come out hard, and then if I can't take him down in the first round, I think I'm in real trouble.
Hold on. Someone I'd like to spar with, Natasha Henstridge, is on the phone.
Wow,
Were we just speaking about her? Natasha?
Hi. Hi. How are you?
I'm doing better now, sweetie Petey. You are the one
sweetie
that got
away. Petey, we're even doing baby talk. I love this.
Oh, I got to tell you. Now, Natasha and I go way back. I think the first time I met you was doing a Love Line on MTV.
That's right. That's right.
And I thought, and again, and I hope you heard, and I'm sure my buddy Ray called you and told you to call me, but I don't know if you heard any of the things me and Bald Brian were saying about you.
I didn't. I didn't hear much, but I heard they were complimentary, which is good.
Well, I'm saying there's cute, and then there's pretty, and then there's Natasha Henstridge. Cut out of a completely different cloth.
I'm on board completely.
Spectacular.
In Spinal Tap, she's 11.
That's right. If you saw, or if you'll watch Species 1 or 2 or any other crap that, I mean, films that Natasha was in, she is just spectacular and then doesn't disappoint in real life. And when my buddy Ray told me that you would have gone out with me back in the day, I did that thing where I snapped the pencil and I wasn't even holding a pencil.
We did Love Line and I had a little bit of a love connection. Now, I had a crush. I did. I had a little crush on you. And then, I mean, the only reason, no offense, I mean, you might take it anyway, but the only reason I came on The Man Show is I was like, oh, I love that Adam Carolla. He's so cute.
Oh,
yeah. Why would that be offensive?
And so, well, because I didn't really want to go on The Man Show, you know?
Right, all right.
I see.
And if you're that hairy schlub Jimmy, you might be offended. Hey, so Natasha, when you did Love Line with me, or maybe even The Man Show later on, if I'd asked you out, we would have gone out on a date?
Absolutely. Without a doubt.
You do that exhale that's not really an exhale. Like,
Natasha, Adam wasn't only going on about your beauty, but saying that you seemed very smart, and he attributed this to your being Canadian.
Mm. Canadians are a little step above, I think. But no, you know what? They just write me smart on TV. I'm not that smart.
Well, here's what I was saying. I was not focusing so much on the intellect, but more the attitude. That somebody this beautiful, if she was from Orange County, would be a raving bitch.
Right. If I left home at 14 to model in Paris, I would never have picked up a book.
Now, I've been in Montreal, and women in Montreal are very self-possessed. They're very independent, and they look at men. There's a parity there. There's not like a men are better than women thing that we have here.
Well, what part of Canada are you from, Natasha?
In Canada, they like to send you out in the woods, you know. I'm actually from really small towns. I'm from Newfoundland and Alberta, so really both really, really small towns, very remote kind of small town areas where people keep you real good and grounded.
And what was your life? How did you grow up? When did somebody realize how hot you were and kick you out of Canada?
It had to be early. I mean, she's 5'10". She was probably tall, young.
Yeah, how tall are you, Natasha?
I was gawky, and I know you hear this kind of stuff, but I was
awkward.
Not attractive.
I'm sure you were a mess.
I looked like a boy.
Okay, well, hold on a second.
Like a
hold on
and
a
I'm
second.
And I'm not kidding. I always had short hair. I used to cut my hair off.
Slow down.
First off, I pray to Christ you did not look like a boy in real life, because that means I'm really into 14-year-old boys.
It's a Nancy alert.
When you did Species, the first one, you were like 19 or 20, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was 18, 19, yep.
18 or 19. So how far away from your awkward period could you really have been? I mean, maybe you were awkward.
That was a few years. No, that was a few years.
You were awkward in your second trimester while you're inside your mom, but you were never awkward once you hit oxygen. All right, so what is your path, Natasha? Hey, Greg, you can split, by the way.
Well, once your pants came off, I was getting awkward anyway.
Sorry, but you know the rules. So, Natasha, you grew up in a small town.
Is it true you were raised in a trailer park?
Oh, God, they love to make a big deal out of that story. I lived in a trailer periodically when I was younger. Very nice trailer park, by the way, but yes, it was in northern Canada, and it was not... You know, yeah, I came from very humble beginnings, no doubt about it.
That's all the sexier.
See, I know, and that's why she wasn't ruined. Now, at a certain point, you're not awkward anymore, because, again, I saw you at 18 or 19 years of age, and you were anything but awkward.
Well, you have your 20s, the non-awkward stage, and then you go back into awkward again. You know, you start getting a little older, a little more awkward, you know, things change.
Stop playing it down. When did the modeling begin?
Well, can I just interject?
Yes.
I think when you grow up in a trailer in a poor town in Canada, the boy haircut and that look, that's to keep from being molested.
It really is.
Keep a low profile.
Yeah,
it's true.
Smart.
Yeah.
Oh, trust me, man. My kids are now here. They go to private school. There's just as much craziness in wealthier communities, and I think probably.
But at least it's coked up producers who have some money when you sue them.
Yeah, there's a back end.
Right. It's a prettier environment.
That's what I'm going to tell my kids. Look, if you're going to get molested, let's not have it be some long haul trucker. Let's have it be, you know, someone I can IMDb and we can get a little, you know, a little something for the effort.
Well, I think the awkward phase was short lived.
That's all I'm saying. Look, it's a bad situation. Let's not make it worse by not being compensated. So, Natasha, when do you hit Paris and Milan?
I was in school, and literally my mother sent this picture away to a modeling agency. She's so not a stage mom, but she sent this picture off as a surprise to me because they responded and said, we'd love to meet your daughter. Send her down here. We'll do some shots, blah, blah, blah. They entered me in a contest, and by 15, I was off in Paris. I was entered in this look of the year contest. It was a model search type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up winning first runner up in the world. And that kind of, they gave me a contract. I moved to Paris for a little while.
So even though your teens were a very awkward time, you won the second best 15-year-old in the world.
And then when was your first cover?
I was top 10 and I felt
younger.
Awkward.
I was awkward younger. No. I was awkward when I was younger.
I see. Right.
But, who beat her? What Asian girl beat you?
Who beat you out?
It was a Spanish girl. Her name is Inez Sastre. She's actually the face of Lancome now, and she's also an actress in Europe. And
all right. So at least she was hot. So now you win the second best looking teenager in the world award. I was runner up in worst skin competition. So now
did you have bad skin?
No, I didn't. I wish I did. I would have stood out. I didn't, everything was bad on me, but my skin. I never had a problem with that.
Well,
and it's been described as soft to the touch, Natasha,
really?
By the way.
I wouldn't know.
We missed
that opportunity.
The day is young. Hey, so Natasha, when does Hollywood come calling?
So I was living in New York after I was modeling in New York and I was doing a bunch of, TV commercials. I love doing TV commercials and stuff, and I always wanted to act, and I hated modeling, to be honest with you. I love traveling and all that stuff. Lived in New York, asked my commercial agent to send me out on movie auditions, and Species was the third audition.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I kept modeling for a little while. They were auditioning everybody in the world for that role, and a few months later, I booked it. They sent me out to L.A. for a bunch of screen tests, and they eventually booked me.
So let me just get this straight. Uh-oh. Are you there, Natasha?
Yeah, I'm here.
Damn,
can you hear me?
God's intervening. Before we let you go, because we're being rude to Greg Fitzsimmons, he's hosted the Porn Awards. We'll talk about that in a second. Well, look, I feel, okay. You know,
I don't want to offend anyone.
But
I'm sure he's not easily offended.
just for the record, you and I would have gone out because you were physically attracted to me.
I was physically attracted to you, and I'll be honest with you. Part of it, if I have to look back in retrospect, I have to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is, well, you're funny as hell, you're witty as hell, but also you happen to look like my first love.
Yes.
In Canada,
Ed Cranepool.
He was Greek.
A bear.
You know? He was funny and smart, and so there's a little bit of that going on there.
I like that. All right, Natasha, I just wanted to get it straight for masturbating later.
Stop it.
All right. Come in and see us.
Listening to this show. Hey.
Oh, yes. I know. And this is our belated Valentine's Day.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking this is a great Valentine's Day gift.
Really
I know.
Nice.
Yeah, well, look, here's the point. The point is it never happened.
Right.
That's the point.
Correct. That's
all right.
Right.
It wasn't
That's
meant to be.
All right.
We can move on.
Right. We'll move forward.
Moved on.
All right. Natasha, I got to take a break. I got to get to work on a time machine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And we're going to see if you can actually transport water-soluble lube through time. You know? I know you're not supposed to be able to bring anything through time. I'm going to work on it. All right, Natasha Hensrich, thank you very much for calling
in.
I do appreciate it.
You had her, and then you grossed her out.
I know.
With the lube thing. Why'd you do that?
Because there was a part of him that doesn't want to believe it was possible.
He has to reject the idea.
Yes, that's
I'm
right.
Really into 14-year-old boys.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Someone else is into 14-year-old boys. Yeah. Greg Fitzsimmons here, everybody. Quick break. Back with him next.
To the Adam Carolla Show.
Airport security is out of control. I flew in yesterday and
I'm not saying they were intense at the screening, but tomorrow night, the guy who frisked me is introducing me to his parents. This reminds me of the last time they hiked up security. You could not drive a car to the airport. The only way to get to the airport was to take a taxi cab. Because what better way of stemming the flow of Muslims to the airport than only allowing taxis?
Now more with comedian Greg Fitzsimmons on the Adam Carolla Show.
Greg, by the way, can be heard on his Sirius Satellite Radio show on Channel 101. That's this Monday, February 18th, but it's every Monday, is it not?
Every Monday. I think Ray Romano might be my guest this Monday. Not sure
good
yet,
guess.
But
is
it looks good. Yeah, I mean, that's the nice thing about this show is that since it's once a week, I call my dear friends, like Adam was nice enough to do the show, and Jimmy and Sarah, and now Ray Romano. But they're disappointed when they get there, I mean, of course, but just getting them there, that's the key.
That's right. Well, he does it in a broom closet in the middle of Hollywood. That's right, I had my foot in a bucket the entire time I did the show.
Before we forget, we should say that Natasha Henstridge is on Eli Stone Thursdays on ABC at 10 p.m. Eastern.
There you go, sweetie Petey. And, yeah, Fitzsimmons' show is fun, and it's fun for comedians because it's only an hour, and it flies by, and you get to drop F-bombs. And, boy, does it feel good.
Do you like it, Greg?
I love it, except it's an hour. So, like, you know, it's like I get somebody like Adam, and that's half a rant for Adam is an hour. And I'm sitting there going, hey, this is my show. Can I at least throw
that's
an adverb
he
in here?
That's how time. Or, when his wife says, what time are you leaving for the airport? He goes, 4 1/4 rants.
You know, it's funny, too. It's like I'm leaving the house. The show's from 9 to 10 p.m. And, of course, I get up at 4:30 to do this show and talk my brains out for 4 hours. So, of course, I'm leaving the house at 8:30 and my wife's saying, where are you going? And I'm going, oh, Christ, I got to go down the hill and do more radio. And she says, what time are you going to be home? And I'm like, 10:30. Oh, God, the last thing I want to do. And then I go to his show, and he can't shut me up for an hour.
Yeah, no, he turned it on. And here's the best part. He started saying that when he and Jimmy met Howard Stern the first time, that Howard really liked him and not so much Jimmy. Meanwhile, Jimmy was, like, obsessed with Howard. And so it was kind of a tricky thing. And then he talked about how that I asked him if he was going to get the job when Jackie Martling left instead of Artie. And Adam sort of led us to believe that there was a phone call made to him from Howard inviting him to do the show. Mm-hmm. So, of course, Howard 100 News, which is like Howard Stern's fake news company,
right.
Grabbed that story and just spun it that Adam had, like, said. When the truth is, he talked to Howard, and Howard had, what Adam said was more that he was a big fan of Adam's.
Right.
He'd love him to be more involved. And the Howard 100 News just spun it and churned it until he made it a whole thing. Then Jimmy came on my show the next week to rebut the whole thing, and it turned into a major news story.
Now, did Jimmy rebut any of the things I said? Did he describe it in any way differently than the way I described it?
No, he just took cheap shots at you. he didn't take it.
That's
take
how
on
you
the
know.
Story.
By the way, you know you're right and he's wrong when he makes fun of your fat eyebrows.
Right.
Instead of staying on, Jimmy'd make an awesome attorney. It'd be like your client was in said liquor store at 10 p.m. on Thursday the 27th. Yeah, what of it, big nose? Hey, when's the last time you took a look at how fat your ass was?
Yeah.
If he makes brow jokes, that's how I know I'm right. No, I wasn't, you know, it sounds horrible. Kimmel and I were both Stern fans, but Kimmel was a sycophant. I mean, Kimmel was a crazy Stern fan, where I was just a basic Stern fan. We did his show for the first time after many years of not being asked to do his show. And Howard called me on my cell phone after the show and kind of wanted to hook up a little bit. And he thought Jimmy was great on the show. He just felt like
more
there
of a
was
connection.
A connection with me.
When you got that call, were you with Jimmy?
Talking in code.
I was, and it was sad.
He's like, Who's that?
You know what I ended up saying to Jimmy, which made him more angry for some reason? I said, it's basically like this. If we were women, Howard would think we were both equally beautiful, but he likes blondes and you're a brunette.
Except you're both brunettes.
It didn't make him feel any better about it. But I'm saying it's like there wasn't a slight against Jimmy. He liked Jimmy. He just felt a certain connection. Now, And by the way, Jimmy's been to Mexico with Stern like 1,300 times with the, you know, hot girlfriend
vacation
trip.
Oh, yeah, well, he emails
them
and, you know, there's a whole thing.
Please, cry me a river. But for that one moment.
In that moment.
And all I was saying was, is Stern had no idea what my schedule was or if I owned a house or anything. And he basically just said, hey, I'd like to bring you out to New York and have you hang in with the show. I don't know if he was officially offering me the job,
right,
but it seemed like with Jackie on the way out, there was a chair opening and he was.
And I don't think he realized that you had a nationally syndicated radio show or that you had a TV show or, you know, he just figures like, hey, it's my show.
I'm like, I'm going to go
home.
Don't
you want to do it?
I'll drop my tool bags. I'll sell my old pickup truck I'll move out of my dad's house and I'm coming out to New York City.
Now, was there any pouting from Jimmy?
No, because, well, there may have been initially, but then almost immediately him and Howard became thick as thieves. And now, in fact, they are much closer than Howard and I. So he landed on his feet and he's doing a little late night show. I don't know if you heard ABC.
Yeah,
so he's just
with
fine.
His writer's back now.
That's right.
What?
I hope they're not listening because I was talking to Jimmy. I said, Jimmy, I talked to him like on Monday or Tuesday or something. And I was like, well, writers are coming back. And he's like, yeah. I was like, why? That means less work for you, doesn't it? And he goes, no, more work.
Yeah.
I said, really?
Really?
I said, yeah. It somehow translates into more work. I don't know how, but when I was there, somehow writers translate into more work for Jimmy and his days 12 hours long anyway.
I'm a writer and I've been out picketing and I'm glad the strike's over and all that. But it is odd. Like, Jay Leno, who, for whatever it is, he gets good ratings. I don't find him that compelling to watch. During the strike, he went to a new level. He all of a sudden started talking to the crowd. He became the guy that we love in the stand-up clubs
right.
from the 80s.
Absolutely.
He was real. He was edgy. He was funny. And now that the writers are back, I'm curious to see if he's going to go back to the very packaged, kind of one-dimensional, canned thing. And the same thing with Jon Stewart.
Right.
His writers came back. It's the worst show he's had in 3 weeks.
Well, I said to Jimmy, and I'll say to everybody, change is rarely ever a bad thing. It's something you fight against constantly, but if you look back in your life, whether it's a relationship ending or a job ending or a new job beginning or whatever it is, change is life. I mean, that's how you mark your life. Oh, this is when I got out of high school. That was my old girlfriend. That's when you got engaged. Here's when you get in divorce. That change is how you mark your life. Now, I said to Jimmy, you know, now is a good opportunity when all the writers come back to treat it like that roommate that went out of town for the summer and you've always had a couple issues with. When the roommate comes back, now is kind of the time to discuss who's going to use the bathroom and the master bedroom and that kind of stuff. Like, now's the window. Mm-hmm. You know, now's the point where that's going to happen. So hopefully, not only for Jimmy's show, but for everyone's show, all this change or the shakeup that happened over the last 3 months will pay dividends in a different but better show. Hey, Greg Fitzsimmons?
Yes, Adam Carolla.
I would like to plug your ass literally one more time before we cut you loose.
I'm so sad that Greg's leaving. I feel like
I can't believe I'm leaving. Seriously?
I am. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, we've never really done this before. Joel McHale is waiting in the wings.
I was just
but
thinking that.
It's not like he's funny. What's wrong with keeping a funny guy in the room?
Can he stay?
Hey, look, I'm a utility infielder. You put me where you need me.
And I'm a hermaphrodite.
He doesn't mind platooning with McHale.
Absolutely not.
All right, we'll bring McHale, who's basically a face man.
I'm a card-carrying NAMBLA member.
And a card-carrying NAMBLA member in studio. Greg Fitzsimmons, you hang out. Uh-oh. Kale's, he's already on the phone with his publicist. He's brought his clips from the soup. Greg will hang in and we'll do that next.
Right now on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, don't try funny.
TV talk.
What would you say to other kids who were thinking of partying when their parents are out of town?
Get me to do it for you.
Get you to do it for you. Not don't do
it. Best party ever so far. That's what everyone's been saying, so.
Well, we've got to go, but I suggest you go away and take a good, long, hard look at yourself.
With the Soup's Joel McHale.
I have. Everyone has. I love it.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Love that guy.
He's my favorite guy. That guy's 16, too. I wish I had those kind of huevos when I was 16. Greg Fitzsimmons is hanging with us. Greg Fitzsimmons can be found on his satellite, Sirius Satellite Radio Show, Channel 101, Monday nights. Go to GregFitzsimmons.com and find out all the various ventures he's involved with. So, Joel McHale.
Thanks for booking me on that show, Greg.
I'd love to have you. And you free 2 weeks from Monday?
Yep.
Let's set it up. Actually, I'd love to have you.
Let's try an experiment.
We'll wow. How about did you see what he just did?
Yeah.
I have to look to see whether I'm out of town or not. But mm-hmm. if not, I'm in.
Okay.
Great.
I love
it. Have you met before?
No. I don't know why we never met before. It seems like we should have.
We met at a YMCA one time.
Oh.
But it was a glory.
Was it steamy?
It was very steamy.
Okay.
Before we begin, I want to say congratulations, Adam, on those driving shoes that you wore today.
Awesome,
Adam,
right?
Has these amazing driving shoes on that I can't imagine what it would be like to shift in those things.
How about the hypothetical Henstridge situation?
Oh. Mm.
Unreal.
Mm.
Pretty
great. I think you're missing
Thanks,
out
buddy.
On something, Joel.
Right back
yeah, I mean,
bigger.
To hear... I mean, congratulations, but seriously... That she called in, man. How did you get her to call in? She was just listening.
Thanks,
or her friends
buddy.
Called her?
It's the best day of my life.
No, Joel,
I'm
you're
beaming,
missing
right?
There's a bigger congratulations due here.
I've been joking this whole time, but Teresa, you should have heard the live read that Adam did for the Silverado.
That's what I'm
Chevy
trying to tell you.
Right. 315 horsepower
right
and 20 miles.
I mean, that trumps
right
shoes any day.
Thanks,
it's incredible.
Buddy.
And you know, okay,
yeah,
I'll stop this. Teresa... Bald Brian is really contributing to the show in a way
did
which
you
is
hear that?
It's amazing
record
because they
skip
did this
he did earlier?
Thing.
Yeah.
It was
full-time
awesome.
Radio stuff.
Right, a rim shot now and again.
Joel is anyway. Trying to dance around Teresa's engagement. That's right.
Thank you.
And by the way, we don't need the engaged to be married. We can just leave it at engaged,
right.
Everybody.
It's L.A.
We'll do the
it's
math.
It's a holding deal.
That's right.
Yes, I will say, have the shortest engagement you can possibly have.
I think I'm going to.
Don't mm-hmm. drag it out.
So my feeling, like, when you get engaged, the meter's running. That's like you're in the cab, but it's in front of the apartment, but the meter's still running. The yep. divorce-o-meter.
Right.
Let's get it going now. You know what I'm saying?
I think if you split the money that you made while married, I think if you have a pending chunk of change coming in, you may want to push the wedding off a little bit, just to be safe. Not that you don't believe in forever,
mm-hmm.
but that money would not be on the table for the divorce later.
Greg, did you have like a magical proposal with your now wife?
No. She had debt when I married her. I paid that off. Mm-hmm.
That's romantic.
Is that how you? Was that the first thing you said to her, honey? I'm gonna pay off your debt.
No, that really is romantic. And
no,
practical.
I didn't know she had it
until
we got married. Then all of a sudden, she's got $30,000 in student loans that she never mentioned.
Oh no!
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Jesus Christ, that's an expensive yeah. bartending school.
Wait, Joel, I feel like you probably had a romantic proposal.
We must make some. We really use some top shelf vodka.
You saw Tom Cruise in
cocktail.
That was her.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love that.
All right, Mikhail, do you have some clips
yes.
for us?
By the way, Teresa, my marriage was arranged. So,
first, no proposal.
No, it's
I'll
weird. I was adopted
Muslim
by
faith to her during the break.
I was adopted. Both my wife and I were adopted by these guys in Dubai and these two families. And anyway, all right. There's a show called Extra,
mm-hmm.
and Kathy Hilton has a new thing that's coming out. Here
now
it comes.
Is that Hilton? Is that Mama Hilton?
That's Mama Hilton.
All right.
Yeah.
Chocolate rubdowns and Kathy Hilton in a box. Extra's best gifts ever.
Oh, no.
It's a box of ashes, I hope.
Yeah, it'd be nice if it was an urn. Yeah.
Kathy Hilton's urn for everyone.
Well, you know, her son now, who's 18, just got a DUI at 8 o'clock in the morning last week.
Yeah, Barry
Von Hilton.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
I feel like he was in the farm system of the Hiltons.
Right.
He finally has been called up.
Yeah, he's
in the show now.
Right.
Yeah.
He's blowing Paris away. I mean, she wasn't at 18. She wasn't achieving this.
No, she didn't. I don't think she went to jail until 25.
Didn't shave downstairs until 20.
He hit a gas station attendant with his car.
Allegedly,
he careened into a 76 station. That
no.
Yeah.
And then insisted that they clean the Arab juice off his tires.
No.
Oh, that is horrible, but funny. Can I say this? 8 a.m. was late for him, not early.
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean? Did he get up at 7 and start boozing, or was he was pulling an all-nighter?
It's the one time you don't know which end of the binge he's on.
Yeah. Well, I've always said this, but it's funny. As a guy who drives into work at 5:30 in the morning, I see 20 cars, 19 of them are going to work, but one of them's heading home from the club, and I see 19 guys in like Taurus wagons drinking out of commuter cups wearing sweaters, and then one guy's wearing a suede vest and no shirt who's driving a convertible Z, like an 89 convertible Z, and he's heading up the hill and he's smoking.
89 Z.
And I'm like, this guy's been up all night.
Yeah.
Everyone else is getting an early start on the day. Yeah. This guy's
a postgraduate student right
he's
here.
He's crashing when he gets home or before he gets home.
I grew up just outside of New York City, and my dad was in radio when New York, and so he had the 6 to 10 a.m. shift at one point, and I used to have to get up at 4:30 in the morning and drive my dad into the city because the trains weren't running yet and the parking garages weren't open yet. So I one night was out drinking with my friends until...
Your dad couldn't park on the street?
In New York City? Manhattan?
Couldn't find a place to park.
There's no place...
According to him, I needed to get up at 4:30 in the morning.
There's so many scenarios.
What a lying. I mean, that's a lie. I can't push that lawnmower, son.
Yeah.
So you got up at
4:30 in the morning. I'd get up and drive him in. And he bought a Lincoln Town car, and he made me sit in the front and drive him in. So one night I got home at around 4 in the morning, drunk, hid in my room for 20 minutes, and then came downstairs. And we used to always stop at the 7-Eleven to get coffee on the way in. So we go into the 7-Eleven, and there's the four guys I've been drinking with for the last 7 hours. And they're throwing all the garnishes from the hot dog stand at the guy behind the counter. They're having a fight with him. And I walk in, and me and my dad are just stirring our coffees, watching it like it's on TV. And then they start running out, and my buddy Scott goes, "Come on, Greg, let's go." And they didn't realize, no, I'm a chauffeur now.
That's
I'm not with you guys. They didn't realize I'd even left.
You don't see the high boots and hat? Come on now, I'm driving
didn't
dad
Didn't your dad buy you a hat?
Dad into radio.
No, but he did make me put... black shoe polish on my face, and that was humiliating.
I got arrested at a 7-Eleven once.
Nice.
I've never told this
For
story,
what?
I don't think. When I was 13, I thought it'd be a great idea if me and my buddy James Hatfield, not the guy from the band,
Hatfield McCoys,
but another guy, got on top of the roof of the 7-Eleven on Tujunga.
Sounds like a good idea.
And Moore Park got on the roof. Fill the trash can filled with water balloons, go up there and chuck water balloons at everybody's car that drove by. And we hit a short, stout man, but an angry man who was driving a Honda. And he pulled in and he saw we're on the roof, and the guy came up the hatch and they grabbed us.
The driver or the manager of the 7-Eleven?
The manager of the 7-Eleven grabbed us.
No!
The driver was there, and the driver, well, there were two things. Well, something set him off. I was like 13, and he said, well, he was angry.
Do you think it was the...
He was angry because he almost got into an accident, but I said to him, he said he was irate, and he was a short guy, but he was really stocky, and he said, if you were 18, I would kick the crap out of you. You are so lucky you're not 18, and I said... If I were 18, I'd beat the crap out of you.
Oh, no.
Wow. Look at you. You're talking. You are like, you do have.
And it's true. When I was 18, I was 210 pounds and playing football. I knew I was going to play football. And I knew I would beat the crap out of him when I was 18. He thinks I would stay the same size at 18 as I was when I was 13, like a gymnast or something.
Meanwhile, he probably sold you a pack of Marlboros about 2 hours before.
So this was a scene from a movie. It was like midnight. So the guy looked at me and he said, I'm going to give you two choices. This driver, who evidently had all the time in the world. I made the one guy who pulls over at midnight who's going nowhere. He said, look, I'll give you two choices. You can either call both your parents right now, wake them up, and bring them over here so I can tell them what you did, or I will call the cops. So I said, all right, well, I guess we're going to have to bite the bullet. So I called my dad, woke him up, because he was to bed at like 8. Thank God it was almost time for him to get up anyway.
Yeah, hello?
Like 12:30 at night. Hey, Dad. He speaks to me through the mouthpiece of his trumpet. Dad, I'm at the 7-Eleven. Oh, throwing water balloons. I know, it wasn't my idea. I'm telling you, do not use profanity. Just get in your house coat and slippers and drive your crappy VW down here and come get me. So I call my dad, and my dad says, all right, I'll come get you. Now it's time for my buddy James to call his parents and get his parents to come over. Now, this is out of a movie. James and me, we're both 13 years old. James has a brother who's like Spicoli times 10, who's like 17 and a world-class stoner. He calls his house at 12:30 at night.
Later,
his stoner brother picks up the phone and literally, he's like, yeah. And he's like, Kurt, get mom and dad on the phone. He's like, hold on, dude. And you just hear the phone drop, and then you hear a guy collapse, you know? And he just fell back asleep. So we hang on for like 20 minutes and nothing. So it's like, hang up, call back. Well, it's busy.
Right.
Hang up, call back. It's busy. So for 20 minutes, he's calling. His brother, Kurt, just fell over and went back to bed. So the guy goes, fine, I'm calling the cops.
And you couldn't run at this point, or they're holding on to you?
Well, so he's holding on to me. So I'm like, oh, so great. I got my dad coming out and the cops. Because a second ago it was dad or cops. Now it's dad and cops. He's like, well, unless this guy can get his dad on the phone, I'm calling the cops. So
hell yeah.
He could never get the guy on the phone. So sure enough, my dad shows up.
You got arrested in front of your
this
dad.
This guy is pulling my dad aside and explaining to him that he needs to beat the crap out of me. My dad is just standing there in his bathrobe, and we're waiting for the cops. And the cops, of course, the cops take, if your house is on fire and they're having, you know, a gangland type activity go on in your living room, it takes 2 hours for LAP to show up. Water balloons at the 7-Eleven, it's like 4 hour away. So we're just standing there for hours till the cops show up. Then they explain this whole thing about everything you throw becomes a missile, and it's not a misdemeanor, and it's a felony and all that kind of stuff. And that was me almost getting arrested at the 7-Eleven.
What time did you get home?
With my dad.
Your poor dad.
I know.
And your dad berated you about how much gas he spent in coming to get you.
It costs 50 cents every time you start the car, son.
Every time I have to come out to not get you arrested.
Oh.
Write that up. Sell that to The Simpsons. That's a solid episode.
Oh, my God.
Well, all of this has taken us so far away from the anorexic twins, Joel.
Oh, yes. Joel.
Hello, bookmark Joel Strausser.
I'll tell you what. Let's do a tease. I spoke too long. McHale's here. Fitzsimmons is here. We got a ton more clips to go. Which one are we going to hear when we come back next?
Well, you are going to hear the insider, but the tease is for what was supposed to be the next break. So just play the tease.
All right.
Oh, I love hot pockets.
So there you go.
Pat O'Brien loves hot pockets.
That's right.
We'll take a quick break back with McHale and Fitzsimmons next.
Employee of the Week. The hallmark of a good employee is the ability to maintain focus despite what is happening in their personal life. This week's employee has maintained a thoroughly professional attitude despite the recent news of a wedding engagement. This employee's concentration has been remarkable. This week's Employee of the Week is... Once again, Adam Carolla.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nailbiter.
Look, it takes a real professional to sit here while T is beaming like a Klieg light over there and focus on the funny. But T, again, I think you probably came as close as you're going to get to Employee of the Week. And hats off to you.
This was kind of my week, though. This was my only chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
It's so fun because you are at the pinnacle of love right now, and Adam could not be lower because he realized he could have dated Natasha Henstridge.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, it was a 1-2 punch. My wife informed me that Valentine's Day was also for the kids and that I was supposed to get my 20-month-old kids something fruity smelling. And I was like,
very romantic.
You guys have kids. Is Valentine's Day for your kids too? Is that how it works?
My son calls me on the cell phone the day before. He's like, Daddy, get a rose for Mommy and one for JoJo and one for my teacher. And I was like, hey, get a job.
That's right.
Wow.
You're 7.
Yeah. Daddy's got to go. They're having a best three-way. They're giving away. best money shot is up now. Okay. Sweetie, Daddy has to go back and hand out the jizzies. So he'll be back in a minute.
Best double anal's coming up. Let me call you.
Does the award have...
It's like, how do you get competitive about that?
Never mind.
Is that getting bleeped?
Yeah. I don't know. Did we get bleeped?
Yes.
Oh, I guess we did. All right. Greg Fitzsimmons in studio. Joel McHale here as well from The Soup. And they're really advertising the show in an interesting way, because as I drive past the sign with Chelsea Handler's face on it, I always think that's where Joel McHale should be. And that's an interesting angle.
Well, I was there for the month of January.
Right.
And then, now.
Have you considered dating the president of the network?
I tried.
Chelsea does that. It's worked for her.
Well, I tried to date him, and he didn't want to have that experience.
Joel's too modest to admit it, but they're both bottoms. And we had a little bottom on bottom.
Yeah. Well, he's a passive bottom. She's an active bottom.
Right. What we need is a roller skate and a key, not two keys.
Mm.
Right.
Joel?
Yeah.
That's a timely reference. The anorexic twins.
That's skate key.
I was lost.
Yeah, you kids with your Nintendo and your inline skates. You don't know. You don't know from roller skates and keys. All right, yes, the anorexic twins.
Yes, they're back.
I feel like they never went away.
Well, they bring them out for every sweeps.
Right.
Yeah, they trot them out.
They put some weight on, and now they're getting into bikinis.
They did, the insider put them in bikinis.
Right.
So these are actually out of order, but I want to play the second one first, just so you get a little taste.
Tomorrow on The Insider. The anorexic twins, embarrassed in bathing suits. Will they suffer an anorexic setback?
But there's more.
Right.
So here was the intro to their Big Sweeps anorexorific segment.
Anorexic twins break down at the sight of a scale. Will they weigh in? The emotional video is on the way. But first, Donny Osmond, come on down!
Now that is a transition.
Now, let me just make this comment. I'm not a physician, and I don't know anything about eating disorders, but forcing you into a two-piece and then having you stand in front of a full-length mirror is cause for a relapse, right? Like, hey, we're taking Jeff Conaway on a pub crawl. Next!
But first, Johnny Osmond!
Come on down!
They can't have a relapse until next sweeps in November.
Right. They have to put them on ice.
Oh, those anorexic twins. It's like, I eat at about 7:30 every night. So it's the goddamn anorexic twins I have to stare at while I'm staring at the lasagna.
But you could look at your very own twins, your children.
The Lamborghinis are down in the garage, sweetie. I'm not going to eat down there.
You know, Natalia.
She's talking about your kids.
You say Natasha?
No, that's a different... Your daughter.
All right, you're speaking in circles now. Joel?
Yes. Anyway, Teresa.
Sorry.
Yes, I think it's great. They have I wish they had some bulimic triplets or something like that.
We can't find twins out here on U.S. soil. We got to go all the way to Australia to find bulimic twins.
Well, you get around the laws that way when they die.
Smart. International waters.
All right. Now on to a local news story. Good Day LA. What's the guy's name?
Edwards.
All right. Steve Edwards. People in Seattle and Portland are loving that. So Steve Edwards was trying to do a satellite interview to get an update on Barack's campaign. So here you go.
Another big day for Barack Obama. Twice in one day, James Rosen in Washington to report. Hey, James.
Hey, Steve, Jillian, and Dorothy. Nice to see you again.
Make it quick, James. We got a turtle that's waiting, okay? We have a whole turtle thing.
I heard your reference to Planet of the Apes, and it reminded me of who my favorite character on that was. It was the bikini-clad orangutan lawgiver, Dr. Barbieris. Were you familiar with that character?
Yes, I am. Mine was Taylor, of course, the Charlton Heston character, but I really liked Vera as well, and Cornelius.
Thank you, James.
That's the whole report.
That's the report.
Wow.
So
just derailed.
So Barack is doing what? That was old Barack. And I decided, by the way, in a very non-gay, although gay-sounding conversation with a couple of guys, that Barack is hung.
Oh, no doubt.
No doubt?
No doubt.
Greg Fitzsimmons?
You don't get that kind of confidence, and I can tell you this first person, unless you can actually feel it against your kneecap while you're talking your talk.
You need to do that. Like a lucky stone you rub or a rosary bead right before you go out for the Super Bowls. You actually need to feel your penis against your kneecap.
Live at the Apollo, you come out, you rub that piece of wood. Very similar.
Is that what they rub Barack's junk?
Well, I think if he's elected president, it's not going to hurt us.
No, it is
not.
It'll
be a great inauguration party.
No, yeah.
Does it count if you feel your balls rubbing and not because mine has very long sack?
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. It's prodigious. But no, I think it's only penis, Joel. Sorry.
If Hillary also.
I'm sorry, Joel McHale. What's your next clip?
All right. Who watches the show Gone Country? Exactly.
On CMT?
It's where Bobby Brown and Carney Wilson are on a tour bus.
That's right.
Like Big and Rich or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Yeah, or sort of fish out of water thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, and Marcia from the Brady Bunch is on Fitz.
She was...
Here we go. What is
he
happening to you?
Beeped out. You're not allowed to say that.
The show is... We're like 25 minutes behind.
I'm sorry.
Marcia Brady has gone on to sing country music.
Okay.
She found Jesus Christ. She found a six string, and evidently she found some Haagen-Dazs as well, because she put on weight, started singing, and started praying
God
at the same time.
Yeah, yes. They re-edited the opening sequence of the Brady Bunch. Instead of her looking down at Alice, now she's looking straight up at Jesus Christ.
Interesting. Sorry, Joel.
No, not at all. So this awesome concocted idea.
Mm-hmm. Gone Country.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If you could go back in time and you had a choice to kill Hitler or the producer who came up with this idea, which would it be?
Let's go back in time. F. Natasha Henstridge.
Right.
Well, the producer's Jewish, so you could kill two birds with one stone.
I do Henstridge. I go back a little bit further, kill Hitler. Oh, no, wait a minute. I hope I wouldn't get confused. Kill. Henstridge is dead. Hitler's pregnant. Oh, Christ.
Just think what you would be. You'd just be just horribly thought of through history. Just
And I would stop this from ever becoming a show. Yes.
Oh, okay.
The three things I would do.
All right, here we go. Bobby Brown. Carnival.
Can I lay on your lap?
No.
Good. I'll take your shoes off.
Yeah.
And get you cozy.
Wait. You ever hear something like this?
Damn it. I knew you were going to do that. No. You did not just do that.
You? I'll catch him.
You know what? His butt was like 1.5 feet from my mouth. And it was really like a snappy, wet ripper.
Well, a couple of things.
Television.
It's a great time we're living in, especially as an atheist, because the producers have to be in the edit bay, and they're like, yeah, we're going to have to bleep out the goddamn it, because that's offensive. Now, do we have his ass lobbed? Let's go ahead and heat up the ass trumpet a little bit there.
We can't hear it at all, Harley, so we're going to use a...
We got a lot of ambient sound. Did we toss a boom on that, or do we have his ass
locked? We didn't catch it, so we might have to use a sound effect.
Herb, how many times have I told you? Two channels! One on the ass, one on the
mouth.
Look,
we mic it every morning, but he takes it, he wipes it off.
Let's just get a clean beep over the god so we don't offend anybody, and then let's just heat up the ass trumpet as loud as we possibly can.
Can we
throw
a boom mic on the undercarriage in the future, please, so this doesn't happen?
We don't have to sweeten it in post.
Just have the sound guy dig it out.
We have this conversation every day.
This is a staple now of every reality show.
Yes.
Gas.
Yes.
Gas is...
Yeah. Well, it gives.
Can't say god damn it, but the gas, no problem.
He was on Celebrity Rehab.
He wasn't.
Yes, it was an entire 10-minute segment.
We have made incredible strides in the vomiting and farting department, but we've not budged an inch in the booby or language department.
Mm,
if
no.
you really think about it, and if you would have said to me, 10 years ago, hey, 10 years from now, TV's going to be different. Like, we can't show vomiting right now. You can't show a guy yak. When we did the pilot for The Man Show, we had a guy yakking. We had to tile it out. There's plenty of yakking. There's plenty of ass cracking, but still no areola. I don't look at that as a step forward,
and
by the way.
On top of that, so you got the firing, but Panasonic just released a 150-inch plasma screen TV.
Wow.
So Just imagine.
The yak. It'll be like the guys blowing chow in your living room.
Yes. A giant.
We need to take a quick break. Joel, you have more clips?
I do.
Well, good times.
We still haven't gotten to the Hot Pocket.
Oh, I love Hot Pockets.
Greg Fitzsimmons is here. He's basically everywhere. So you just go to GregFitzsimmons.com. Joel McHale is here from The Soup. T's got the news waiting in the wings. We'll come back. We'll do the rest of the clips. Then we'll get to the news and we'll do it next.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
For about a year, Jean Mansell has cherished her cement Jesus statue, an heirloom from her late uncle. But Thursday morning, Jean walked outside only to find that Jesus was gone. In the mailbox, a ransom note. The note reads, "We are holding Jesus ransom until you clean up the poopy from your wieners, and trust us, we see you take your wieners for long walks without picking up their poopy in our yards. This has upset us dearly, so please clean up all the wiener poopy if you want to see Jesus unharmed."
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I gave the Jesus back. They cleaned up the poopy and they got Jesus back. That's the way it works. No Jesus, no poopy. Joel McHale in studio. Also, Greg Fitzsimmons. Go to GregFitzsimmons.com and watch Joel on The Soup on E!
Can I just plug one thing? I did an episode of a reality show that's premiering on March 5th, I believe, called Here Come the Newlyweds on ABC at 10 o'clock on March 3rd.
I thought you were on Intervention.
Not yet.
All right.
I'm just auditioning for it with my life.
Yeah.
I got March 2nd.
March 2nd on, very funny.
McHale?
Yes.
You have some more clips for us?
Big redneck wedding. And I know everyone who knows rednecks writes their own wedding vows, right?
Sure.
Well, here's a redneck pitching his wedding vows to his mother.
You want to hear what I wrote?
Yeah, let's hear.
I wish I could put your love in a locket because you're hotter than a hot pocket.
Oh, I love hot pockets.
Clearly written for the redneck.
Yeah.
But maybe something Teresa.
Good name for T's V.
Did Jim Gaffigan write the wedding vows?
He does a lot of food-related humor.
Oh, he has a whole Hot Pocket chunk. It's like his most famous chunk.
Really?
Oh, well, they stole it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, last one, Flavor of Love. This is Flava Flav recapping what's happened in the 19 series he's done before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming down to this series.
So check this out. Love is just like a baseball game. Bridget, strike one.
I love you.
Hoops, strike two.
Well, Jim, be my baby.
Delicious, strike three.
Would you be my baby, Jim?
If I get any more strikes, I'm out.
Four strikes?
Four? Yeah, he's not playing T-ball. Man's not coaching first base.
Yeah.
That's right.
You get in that game, you get to hit swing as many times as you want.
No, well, he got a first down after the third one.
Right. That's what it is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So Flavor Flav is out of strikes. And by the way, all the guys in the joint for stealing a can of barbecue sauce who are recipients of the third strike policy would probably like to have Flavor Flav as their judge because he's like, all right, that's three. One more. Four strikes and you're out. It's just like the old song they sing when you go to, because it's one, two, three, four strikes, you're out at the old
Flavor Flav.
I've got AIDS.
Oh.
Wow, wait.
Hey, T-Bone.
Yeah. That was part of Flav's thing.
I know you're in love, but do you think you can do the news?
I think I can push through.
All right.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser.
Yay! Look at her beaming.
Never looked hotter. Really looks smoking hot today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's very kind of you.
Yeah, they do that when a chick's pregnant. She has a certain glow, but that's always a little bit weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
But when she's newly engaged, that's
at least with
glow
the pregnancy,
cool.
You know, it's because the breasts are larger. But here, you can't really put a finger on it.
Or it can be put on your finger. and you can put a finger in it.
What a mind.
Oh. John
and
McCain.
That doesn't get pleased.
Well, that's why I'm the master.
Yeah, because it takes you a minute to really get it. John McCain had to stop using John Cougar Mellencamp's song. Is he John Cougar Mellencamp still?
No.
John Cougar Mellencamp.
Well, McCain had to stop using Mellencamp at his campaign rallies because Mellencamp politely asked him to not use his music anymore. And now Boston guitarist Tom Scholz, is that how he says it?
Yeah.
Is asking the same of McCain's Republican competitor, Mike Huckabee. Huckabee has been using
He wasn't in Boston. He's just from Boston.
He's just a guy.
Yeah. He's a substitute school teacher, but he introduces himself as Boston guitarist.
Hey, guy, stop using that song, guy.
I did the same thing with Chicago for many years.
Adam Carolla, Chicago guitarist.
Yeah.
Huckabee's been using More Than a Feeling. Tom isn't happy about it. He wrote a letter to Huckabee. And in the letter, he says, quote, "While this may seem like a little thing to you, Boston has been my life's work. I hold the trademark to my name, and my reputation is inexorably tied to it. By using my song and my band's name, Boston, you have taken something of mine and used it to promote ideas to which I am opposed."
Well, I understand the part where you have to pay the company if you want to use the song in your movie, but doesn't this just give positive exposure to bands who wrote songs 20 years ago who weren't selling them today? I mean, I always wonder about that.
How dare you say that about Boston?
Well, I like Boston, and I've worn out a few tennis rackets playing their music. But seriously, are they really flying off the shelves these days?
Well, he ended his letter to Huckabee by saying, "I think I've been ripped off, dude."
Oh, really?
He supports Barack Obama, by the way.
All right. I'm just saying, you know, McCain, the guy spent 8 years in a Hanoi Hilton. Let's give him a pass.
Yeah. And it's got to be hard for Republicans, though, because so many musicians are Democrats.
Does the Hilton chain, are they in Vietnam at this present time? And if they are,
the Hanoi Hilton
chain? How pissed do they have to be, you know? I'll be at the Hanoi Hilton. Okay, then. No, no, seriously. Room 220. No, all righty, then. I mean, is there a Hilton in Hanoi now?
If there is, I bet you on a pay-per-view you could get the Paris, a night in Paris.
At the Hanoi Hilton?
Yes.
Like that.
Is that worse torture than what actually happened?
There's nothing wrong with that video, Teresa.
I'm sorry. Did you hear Jane Fonda yesterday dropped the C-bomb?
Yes.
Sweet.
Yeah.
She's 70 years old. She went on the Today Show. She was talking about her role in the Vagina Monologues.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, in case you didn't hear it, here she is dropping the C word.
Jane, you at first were not a big fan of the play, so what turned you around?
Well, it wasn't that I wasn't a big fan. I hadn't seen the play. I live in Georgia, okay? I was asked to do a monologue called and I said, I don't think so. I got enough problems.
Meredith Vieira didn't even react to it. That was crazy.
Wait for it. That aired unedited and uncensored.
Really? That went out.
That went out for the West Coast broadcast. Ten minutes later, Meredith Vieira gathered herself and said this.
In our last half hour, we were talking about the vagina monologues, and Jane Fonda inadvertently said a word from the play that you don't say on television. It was a slip, and obviously she apologizes, and so do we. We would do nothing to offend the audience.
I slipped on a vagina in college, and
what?
I still don't walk right to this day. That's
got to
be nice.
They really should put signs up.
Every woman.
I know. And also, when you're with your kid, not only do you have to explain the C word, but you have to explain our retarded society where you're going, look, it's called the vagina monologues, but daddy, you just said, no, I can say vagina till I'm blue in the face. But then she said the C word. Yeah. Well, what's that mean? It just means vagina. Well, why can't we use that word? Because that's bad. That's horrible.
But it's shorter and more economical, Dad. It's one syllable instead
of
three.
I'm using it.
Here's the problem. I'll tell you the problem with Jane Fonda. My only beef with Jane Fonda, which is, look, when you hit 70, A, you're old and you have more FU money than you know what to do with it. I would go on a C word world tour if I were Jane Fonda. I'd be at the Olympics talking about the C word. I'd go on every late night show. I would drop a C bomb. I'd be one of these guys. You know, every once in a while you hear about these.
Welcome to the Charlie Rose Show. We have Adam Carolla here tonight.
Hey, how are you? And a hearty C word to all the folks in TV land.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Charlie, Are you your married man?
Yes, I am.
How's that sea of a wife you're married to?
Gosh, really insulting.
Yeah.
I have a few questions.
I got to go on the James Lipton show and drop a couple C-bombs. You want to come along or are we cool?
What is your favorite curse word? Well,
I'm going to go with F, actually.
Really? Students?
So I would do that if I were her. You know, I would do like, you see these horrible MasterCard commercials where the two J.O. guys decide to go to every ballpark in North America and see every game during the Major League Baseball season? I would do that, but with the C word.
Well, Joan Rivers is kind of doing that now. She's been booted off E, off TV
really?
Guide channel,
God bless
and now
her.
She is just blasting everybody.
So she's old and using, she has the F.U.
She
money.
She has F.U. money.
Meets I Don't Care, which is
and funnier than ever because she's being herself.
Yeah. But though old and F.U. money equals, hey, dump guy, get your finger on that button, put the coffee down. But let me say the reason I do have a beef with Fonda. You see, the C word, that...
Oh, I thought you were going to say monster-in-law.
That's the chick's N-word. Do you know what I mean? That's their N-word. The C word?
Yes.
And I like to keep it fresh, and I like to keep it potent.
Yes.
I don't want, ironically, the C word to get effed out.
And the British are the worst offenders.
Yeah, they use it all the time. They're talking, they'll use the C word at the drop of a dime. I don't like that, because it's losing its power.
But, Adam, if you go on tour...
No, you're right. You're right. This is my point. Let's stop using the C word. I've revised my tour.
Okay.
I've completely changed my plan because the C word is one that we need to keep, and we need to keep it fresh in our back pocket for that. You know, once every three years, you get in that big blowout with the old lady, and out comes the C word, and it's devastating.
Or I'm in the garage watching a chick fight. The only time I want to hear that word is when a ghetto chick's got a handful of weave in her hand.
Yes.
And they're just, you know, 2 minutes into a brawl, then I want to hear
it. She's got an eye full of press-on nail, a handful of weave, and the C word comes flying out, and it is so effective.
Talking about The View right now, right?
Joel, that's right. If we moved to England, and I got into a fight with my wife, and I used the C word,
Rolls right off.
You're Andy Cap.
That's right.
Well, I think the whole
he uses the C word all. I love that cartoon. Hey, I'm going to go suck up a few pints, and then I'm going to rape you when I come home. All right, love? Top of the morning to you.
What? I'm now Garfield.
I think the point of the vagina monologues was to demystify the word vagina and possibly the C word.
Let's not take the teeth out of the C. That's all I'm saying.
There's a movie about
teeth.
That called teeth.
Vagina dentia.
You have put teeth in the C, and let's keep them there. Let's not have this turn into merry old seeing England.
Well, I think Jane and Eve Ensler, who wrote the play, especially Eve, were trying to reclaim all of the words associated with vagina. Jane Fonda was on Access Hollywood, and here's what she had to say about dropping the C-bomb.
Well, it's the name of one of the monologues, and if it offended anyone, I'm sorry, but I was just talking about one of the monologues that I was asked to do at first, and I said, no!
That's a lame excuse.
Did she say anyone-y?
Yes, she did.
Because you could put the name, well, it's just the name of a monologue, so I was going to do this monologue called The Jews Should Burn, and I don't know why, I mean, it's just this monologue I was going to do, you know what I mean?
So. No, I had this explained to me many years ago by young Jimmy Kimmel when he was still in the radio business, because I was reviewing a movie, a James Bond movie, and, you know, they have their pussy galores and all those kinds of names, and I came up with my own very vulgar name that I was going to use. And it was Vulva McSomething. I can't remember how the rest of it went, but it was a disaster. And Jimmy said, you can't use that on the air. And I said, why not? It's a James Bond name. And he said, well, what if the secretary was just named Effie McF whatever? Could you use that? And I said, touche, buddy. And I see great things for you in the future. And I was not wrong about that. Hey, T.
Yep.
Why don't you tease the next story and we'll go to break?
Madonna has directed a new movie. It is coming out shortly. But she, you know how those entertainment shows ask any celebrity how they feel about Britney?
She's married to C. Richie, right?
Yeah.
They love it so much over there, they're actually naming their sons.
Sure. Sons and daughters.
Wow.
They access Hollywood. She comments on generic advice and what she thinks about it.
We'll hear Madonna, and then we'll hear Greg Fitzsimmons talk about Madonna and Joel McHale as well. Enjoy some of the song stylings of Boston, and we'll take a quick break. Be back with the rest of the news next. Joel McHale in studio from the Soup. Greg Fitzsimmons here. GregFitzsimmons.com. Little bit more time for tea and the rest of the news.
What the crap? This ain't normal.
Huh?
Madonna took a shot at entertainment shows for asking celebrities to give other celebrities useless advice on their problems.
I don't see the point of giving generic advice to people I don't know, and I don't really know them. So I don't have any advice for them.
Mm. She's from Michigan.
Yeah.
Although, plus, if you rent her movies, she'll show you how to work a Coke bottle.
They also, sometimes I think they're unfair. They corner the celebrities. Like when I was walking the red carpet at the Playboy Mansion, the guy from Entertainment Tonight wanted a birthday shout out for Heath Ledger. And I was like, all right, hey, buddy. And it was pathetic. I found out later.
Well, was he dead already?
Evidently something happened to him.
Did you use a British accent?
I used the C word, if that's
Oh, no.
Speaking of celebrities giving celebrities advice, I have to ask you, I'm doing a show with Andy Dick now. I know. He's paying me to play his best friend on a reality show.
Mm-hmm.
He's renovating his house. Will you play the guy who gives him advice on how to demolish his house?
Yeah, I'll come by and do that.
Good.
Sure.
Every time I come on the show, I like to put Adam on the spot.
I tried to do his radio show last time he came here.
Madonna has directed a movie. It's called Filth and Wisdom.
So he was like, I did your radio show, and I'm like, so I have to be punished because I gave out a couple of shout-outs for you being at the Irvine Improv? This is my payment? I have to do your radio show?
How many listeners do you have?
Why should I be punished just because you did my radio show?
I got like 9 pages of teleprompter copy I need you to do for the Soup, Adam.
Don't you want to talk to the 15 people that pay to hear stuff through a satellite dish?
No, I had a good time. It was a total pro.
You guys are being C-words. I'm trying to get through this.
Sorry, what's going on?
Okay.
Madonna's directed a movie, Filth and Wisdom. It debuted at the Berlin International Film Festival. I have a feeling she might be a decent director. Here's the plot of the movie. Okay. It focuses on a Ukrainian immigrant who finances his dream of rock glory by moonlighting as a cross-dressing dominatrix. He has 2 female roommates, Juliet, a chemist, and Holly, a budding ballerina who becomes a stripper to make ends meet.
Same old story.
If I had a nickel for every time...
Yeah, I saw Ratatouille.
That pitch came across my desk. Please.
How can you be a good director when you can't even marry a good director?
You didn't like Lock, Stock, and 2 Smoking Barrels?
No, I did not.
Or speaking of C-word, Snatch...
Style over substance. That's what I call that type of
Wow. Yep. Interesting.
Thank you.
Wow. I like that.
Thanks.
Well, Madonna had to choose music for her film Filth and Wisdom, and here's how she went about it.
As far as using Britney Spears is concerned, honestly, the music that I used in my film was all, in terms of modern music, was music made by people that I know, who I knew would give me songs and not charge me lots of money.
Well,
Her accent drives me up the wall.
One of you is from Flint, the other's from Shreveport, and you both have an English accent now. How did that work out?
Oh.
The Donster's from Michigan, the other one's from Louisiana, and yet they both have picked up the Queen's English.
Well, Madonna has gone with the kind of upper class British,
right?
And Britney's doing the Cockney.
Right, I know. They're like before and after My Fair Lady.
And by the way, you can say Cockney accent, but you can't say talks like you have a C in your mouth.
That's a very and a knee in your mouth.
That's true.
Good point.
I will leave you with this story about a 35-year-old. From King County, Washington. He was busted for drunk driving when he got into an accident outside of Seattle back in December. This past Monday, he had a court hearing for his DUI. When he walked into court, he seemed a little shaky on his feet, so the judge made him take a breathalyzer test right there on the spot.
Wow.
He had a blood alcohol level of 0.32, 4 times the legal limit.
Wow.
Drunk out of his skull at his DUI hearing. He was so wasted the cops couldn't arrest him. They had to take him to the hospital just to make sure he did not get alcohol poisoning.
First off, I don't think you're ever so drunk that you can't be arrested. Yeah. If I was a cop, that would be my policy. I've never met a guy so drunk that I couldn't just take him. There's a place called the Drunk Tank.
Right.
It's right at the precinct. It's got the word drunk and tank right in it.
Andy Griffith is out front. But wait, is it a crime to be drunk in court?
I got hammered.
Well, if you drove yourself there, but
well, it didn't say that. Did he drive himself there?
Doesn't say, but one would assume he did. And I wonder if maybe it's he showed up to his hearing, but he couldn't really testify.
Well, I'm just saying I've been to court a few times and a little nip to take the edge off certainly does not hurt. And then secondly, drunk tank is right up there with garnish your wages, which is count me in.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've never been there before, you know, if you've never heard of it before and said, hey, Joel McHale, here's what we're going to do. First, we garnish your wages.
Oh.
Then it's off to the drunk tank.
But that's great. My checks are going to smell wonderful.
They're going to have a lemon wedge next to them.
And then where is this wonderful drunk tank? Is it like a one time you just pay one thing and then you can drink all night?
Come on down. I'll show you. It's
awesome. Like a think tank, but just bad ideas.
That's right.
And vomiting.
Let's go to court at four times the legal limit. I'm Jason Strasser. That was
insane. Yeah, the drunk tank is the
tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser.
It's a think tank. If you decided in the think tank, it'd be a good idea to attack your neighbor's mailbox with a golf club at 4 a.m.
Those are the types of thoughts.
Technically, it's an idea that needs to.
I would like to combine the think tank, the drunk tank, and the dunk tank.
Oh.
Wow.
That's a carnival I'd like to attend.
So you're saying it's beer that you fall into.
Vodka.
In the dunk tank.
You're coming up with snappy ideas. You know, you're turning a phrase.
Sure.
You're coming up with slogans while you drop into this big vat of beer.
Or you're challenged to come up with a solid idea. If you can't do it, you drop into the beer.
That's right.
You become drunk, and then you get, like in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, sent through a tube into the drunk tank.
Interesting.
And then the only way you get out is when the cops determine that you're too drunk to be arrested. So now we can't arrest you. You can go.
I said good day!
The literal drunk tank. Count me in. All right, we'll take a break. Joel McHale, Greg Fitzsimmons here. We'll be right back. Well, where did the time go, C-words? See, I'm now going to weave it in.
I thought you were trying to preserve the sanctity of it.
It's
weird. Now you're totally throwing those rules
out. You're right, C-Face. Hey, I want to thank Greg Fitzsimmons for coming on the show this morning. GregFitzsimmons.com's got a lot of stuff cooking. Go check it out at GregFitzsimmons.com. Joel McHale, not much in the hopper, but he's got the suit.
Trouble.
And again, every time you drive up Highland, you see that big picture of Chelsea Handler. Think Joel McHale.
The Jews should burn.
Look, that was a negative example.
Brian, we're going to leave the mics hot during the commercial break. Do not record it.
No, I said
you should burn.
Look, I said that as a negative example.
Joel, look.
The monologue.
I'm not judging.
That Jane Fonda.
We all feel like we can speak freely during the break, that we're not going to be judged. And when Brian leaves the mics hot.
The Jews should burn.
Look, if you could play the segment where... Mm-hmm. She says
you should burn.
The C word is a name of a monologue. And
all right,
the Jews.
Joel McHale's going to go down, desecrate the Tolerance Museum, and then he's right. And then he's popping into E News. Well, he'll do the soup. Or
the Jews should burn.
Or soup, as he calls it.
the strike's over, Joel. Why still the anger?
Yes.
Look, I'm not
Knight
upset
Rider,
at all.
The movie. It's a TV event. Sunday night, 9 p.m. on NBC.
The
also,
look,
Dawson's Band. Our own Dawson's
the
Band.
Jews should burn.
That's not the name of the band.
Do you have Dawson's Band, by the way, name on there?
Buffalo, California.
Band
Buffalo, California.
California. But do you have Dawson's famous drop? Come on. He's with y'all on this.
Dude, I waited for you, man.
No, not that one. The other one, Bald Brian.
Later, Hosen.
There you go. See? You two can don the later, Hosen, and goose step around.
Look.
Come on, Joel. All
right. I asked you, and you said it was no big deal, and now I feel like...
All right, look, I'll see you at the rally later. We'll take an extended break, and until next time, this is Adam Carolla for the newly engaged Teresa Strasser saying mahalo. I'm really into 14-year-old boys.